Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
As Americans, many of us, sadly, have gone to the dark side because we just don't hear the truth in the news anymore. Many of us listen to the lying liberal media. They don't know the truth about America because what they are listening to is actively working to change it, and not in a good way either. They label all of us truth tellers and America-loving patriots as extremists because socialism is what they really want. It is time for a great American reset, time to change how the American government works. As Thomas Sowell once said, it is hard to imagine a more stupid or more dangerous way of making decisions than by putting those decisions in the hands of people who pay no price for being wrong. That being said, CNM is now looking for a few new truth tellers to join our network and to help get the word out. If you have an idea for an America-loving show, email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Tell us what your idea is and what you want to name your show. We can also help set up a time and a day for when it will go live. So come and join Conservative Nation Media and know you're where the truth is being told. Conservative Nation Media, where America always lives.
Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
In that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time
an actor assassinated a president.
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man. One small leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Hello, everyone, and been having problems already on this show, but you know, one of the things that I've been talking about lately, and being a Republican, this is something that a lot of Republicans are not saying, but just voting Republican is not the answer, folks. What we need to do is to vote with our own, with our conscience. Vote for what we know is right for America. Stop with the insanity of following the liberal media and the liberal-minded policies of the government. Find people in whatever party you can find them who will do what is needed to save America and put America first. There is nothing wrong with being proud of being American and seeing the things that the powers that be are doing to destroy the life that we all deserve and doing something about it. Start researching, finding out what is, who is doing what and who is doing the right things, and then vote that way. America will survive. But if we won't survive if we continue down the road that we are on. National debt is out of control, and spending continues like there is no tomorrow. Supporting Hamas, a terrorist organization rather than Israel, who is just defending herself right now, is stupid. But that's what we have these so-called intellectuals in our colleges now doing. They're saying, we need to get rid of Israel. We need to support Hamas. No, we don't. We need to start doing what is right. Having a president who tells Netanyahu that our support is unwavering and then turning around and throwing American support behind Hamas is not the way to go. We are a nation in decline, and we had better notice this before it's too late. The clock is ticking, folks. Enjoy the show and call in, but be respectful to others when they are talking, and let's have a civil discourse on this important matter tonight. Hello, Lorianne. How are you?
Hello. Happy Friday to you. I'm doing all right. Hanging in there, still alive, still breathing. so can't complain too much, I guess. How have you been doing?
Oh, I've been doing good. That second time that I lost my connection, I laid my phone on top of the computer and it shut the computer off. So that was my fault. But thankfully, when I pulled the phone off of the computer, it came back on again. So that's what happened that last time.
I didn't realize your phone had that much power over your computer.
Apparently it does. My phone, the case of my phone is metal and the case of my computer is metal. So I guess the two kind of messed with each other there. But our weather here got rather warm today. We hit, I think, 83 degrees for the first time this year. And we're supposed to hit almost 90 by the end of the weekend. We're not sure what the heck's going on from there. Yesterday it rained and didn't even get out of the 70s. So yesterday was a nice day.
Very good. Yeah, we've had some good weather here, and then you know it's been pretty dry, and we had a little taste of summer last weekend. But now we're going back into a cooling down period, so we'll be in the low to mid 60s for the next few days, and then rain will come back by Tuesday.
The
typical Oregon weather here, but it's been kind of nice, I like it cooler though. I don't like it when it's really hot. When it gets over 75 degrees, getting to 80 degrees, and I'm like, I guess I'm just climatized to Oregon.
Yeah. Here in the springtime, we have higher humidity here, so when it hits 80, that's hot. But in the summertime, we'll hit 100, and we've got 4% humidity. It doesn't feel anywhere near 100. So, but this time of year, when it starts getting this warm, then it does feel awful hot outside. And I noticed that Mike just called in.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey,
yeah,
Mike.
We've been having some pretty nasty weather here. We just had, a nice storm. We're probably going to have one later on tonight. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be with you because it might interfere with the phone and all that stuff. But we recently had a tornado blow through here. Shut us down for a little while, exploding transformers and all that stuff, right?
Oh yeah,
I remember days
like that. Up in Beaverton, Oregon and Yakima, Washington, not Yakima, but Spokane, Washington, I remember things like that happening.
Yeah. So that's the weather report. We've had tech talk and we've had the weather report.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm feeling for Texas. Texas had had a lot of storms go through, and I think like four people died with bad storms going on in Texas.
Sure.
Yeah,
and then they had that barge slam in. You hear about that? Another barge slamming into a bridge down there in Galveston, Texas, and causing an oil spill. That happened a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So what is that? What is it with these barge issues all of a sudden slamming into bridges?
They're not watching.
We talked about that last night on Ron Rex show.
Huh. I missed that. Darn.
Yeah, it's like first there was train derailments every other day. And now I guess they gave up on all the train derailments, and now they're moving to slamming bridges by barges. It just makes me wonder, like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it seems like we're having all kinds of calamities going on, and nobody seems to even care about it.
I guess not. Kind of makes you wonder, I mean, look, there are many ways to get, you know, from what I understand, that bridge, that accident in Texas is a big deal. It's sort of a big deal, but there are more ways. There are different ways to get. It's not like the so-called accident in Baltimore. There's only one way in and one way out of that harbor. All right.
Yeah.
This is a place in Galveston that's multiple ways in and out. Yeah, it hurts the people who want to get off the island by car. Yeah, but then again, you can sit there and use ferries and stuff like that, you know, so to get them in and out, in off and on to Galveston Island, right? And
yeah.
I can't. Hopefully, Cat will come back or Gunslinger will show up at some point. Because last time I was at Galveston, my aunt had gotten a beach house. That's my dad's sister. They got in a beach house up there, and we ended up going there at one point during. We weren't paying attention. We wanted to get there, so we were coming in, and everybody else was going out because there was a tropical storm or a tropical wave coming
mm-hmm.
at that point. This was in the early 80s, early to mid 80s. So it's
no.
like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I Oops. Brought Boyd in too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's already ferry service established to the island. There's a ferry that goes off the north end of the island to the north side of the bay. So, you know, they're not hurting. The only thing is, like, if they wanted to go to a store that's, you know, right there off the bridge, then they have to drive all the way around the Galveston Bay to get to that store, and then all the way back to get to the ferry to get back on the island. So they're not hurting. They're inconvenienced, but, you know, they're not hurting.
Yeah.
Besides, like we were discussing last night, you know, Galveston's a city that shouldn't be where it's at. I mean, they've tried so many times to remove that city, you know, over the years, you know, and it just hasn't happened. They keep building back. Yep. I don't know why, but they keep building back up,
mm-hmm.
you know. You seem to be breaking up
every, yeah, you are. Every couple of
and
words.
And I'm glad it's not just me. But, yeah, it's
well,
kind of choppy.
I'll drop off and call back, and maybe I'll get a better line.
Right. It's like Gunslinger said, there are many times when God has said, I don't want you here, and sent a hurricane or a tropical storm there, and boom, wipes out Galveston, and then they end up building back, you know?
Yeah.
The 1900 hurricane was the biggest deal, because at that point before that hurricane, I believe it's 1900, Galveston was going to be one of the bigger cities in Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the hurricane comes, forces everybody move inland to Houston, and Houston becomes one of the bigger cities in Texas in the future. So, you know, it is what it is, but they did, after that hurricane, they did build that thing back.
And then they try to destroy it with exploding ships, you know, and
oh, God.
Stuff like that. So, you know, Galveston should, you know, maybe reconsider this, you know, its placement in the world.
Yeah. Hello, Joseph.
What about the golfer being arrested? Does anyone tell you that story, the golfer being ripped out of his car there, you know, and kidnapped and taken down to the police station and charged with assault on a police officer?
I didn't hear anything about that.
Well, he's the number one golfer in the world. He's made top news this morning, but Yeah, he was. He, the cop told him, go ahead. I guess did they have a policy that, you know, when they go to an event like that, which is, you know, it's a worldwide broadcast, they have security passes on their car, and one car ahead of them went, and then he followed, I guess, and the cop, I guess, for some reason, wanted him to stop or something, and I guess he kept going about 10 more yards, and the cop flipped out and went nuts. You know how they do, you know?
Yeah, well, the cop.
You know?
Well, here's the whole story. All the cops were there for one reason. Somebody got killed by, it got hit by a bus, and they were there on the accident scene.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was that. And then the cop, when he grabbed a hold of the guy's car or whatever, from what I entertained, is that the cop was not in uniform, that it was a detective. And, you know, what the hell? You're not a cop. He's going to go on in. So, there's a whole lot of mistakes on everybody's side there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the citizen is always right, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, first of all, as long as he's not hurting anybody, and he wasn't. You know, he was just trying to go where he do his job, which was go do what he does. He's the number one golfer in the world, and he was scheduled to be at an event. And other cars were going the same way he was going. I don't know.
And the cop was only trying to do his job, which was placing security out there, trying to figure out who's supposed to go where. So the cop made a mistake.
It's not his job to worry about who goes
where, though. The cop made a mistake, too. You know, so the cop was right, too.
Nah,
you know,
he was totally in the wrong. You don't rip somebody out of their car.
He ripped the guy out of his car. He's a fucking cop.
So he's a fucking cop.
He's always wrong. He's always wrong because he's a cop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. His boss? We're the employer. He's the employee. Do you understand that?
You know what,
Joseph? Get that?
He's doing what his boss told him to do.
Oh, that makes it okay to violate somebody's constitutional rights then. That makes it okay.
That's right.
Okay. Well, then go lick their boots then.
He's obeying his boss, which is the rest of us citizens.
Oh, that makes it okay. Wow, if you think like that, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
you better believe
that we're in trouble.
Yep, go lick the boots then.
I'm putting my boots on right now.
Lick them.
No, I'm putting my boots on. You can lick my boots. You're a civilian.
Well, not
lick
me.
My boots.
Not me.
To your point, Andrew. Think about it this way, Joseph. To Boyd's point, what happened on January 6th? There was a broken window. There was cops. Just listen to me. Just follow me on this. The cops were guarding that window, and then somewhere along the line, the cops left from that window, and we know what happened. Ashley Babbitt went in, and she got killed, right? So
okay.
Why did the cops leave that window? It had to be an order given by somebody that was over them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
They were just following orders, and then by them following orders, Ashley Babbitt got killed.
Okay. According to your thoughts and mine, I can fucking shoot a cop because I am the boss and he's not.
No, what? Why would you make some stupid asinine scenario like that? Now, hang on. According to the Nuremberg trials, then they were just following orders. They should have never been convicted, right? That's right. They were just following orders, right?
Cop comes to arrest me, and I shoot the son of a bitch because he's following orders.
No, you're just following orders.
If they follow orders that violate a U.S. citizen's constitutional protection, right? You're damn right. They need to be shot. You know, if a police officer is committing a crime, that is a crime to violate your rights. His immunity stops. his immunity stops. Mm-hmm. And that's why in Indiana, if the police enter into a house the wrong way, the homeowner can shoot him, can kill him. That's the law
that's
in
right.
Indiana. It should be that way. It's not that they're supposed to figure things out. They're supposed to know it before they don that uniform, put on that badge, put on that gun, and get out there and have interactions with the police. And you got a bunch of them that's a bunch of dumbasses. That's causing a lot of problems. Citizens should know
yep.
how to file suits against the department and then file civil suits against the police officer.
Amen.
Yeah, I just love the story with that I'm sure you've heard of it, the airman Roger Fortson in Florida, where the cop shot and killed him. All he did was answer the door. He was holding his firearm pointed toward the ground at his side. The cop shoots like six times and then tells him to drop his gun. And
yeah.
that officer was found to be acting in self-defense. And that, you know, and I've seen that video. I've watched it several times. I'm like, how in the hell, you know, no way. No way was that justified. You don't yeah. just shoot a guy six times. He's not even pointing the gun at you. He just has it at his side. He's answering the door. And you shoot him six times and then you order him to lay his weapon down.
What I really love the most about this conversation is that we're debating what happened, where it is, and we don't have a fucking clue yet.
Well, hell, it's on YouTube, boy. You can see it. I mean, goddamn. Look at what
they released
Smith,
the body cam footage. It's obvious.
Look,
there's no doubt about what happened.
Look, when Will Smith got out of his chair at that Oscars thing, went up there and assaulted Chris Rock, he should have been criminalized. You didn't need no questioning. It's on video. The prosecutor should have criminalized him because he committed a crime against the state of California. Chris Rock don't have to say, well, it's okay. No, he committed a crime against the state of California. That's what we talk about. This stuff is completely wacko.
I know. And we got citizens that think it's okay.
You can't answer the door with your gun in your hand and you're in your house?
And the public yeah. thinks it's okay. They're our heroes. Oh, my Lord.
It's crazy. It really is. This whole country is going insane right at the moment because we're just hearing something on the news and we think, okay, that's got to be right. Well, no, it isn't.
You know, I want to go back.
The thing is, Robert.
Yeah, I want to go back to the whole following orders shit stuff. You should always follow orders, right? Or the cops
right,
should
yeah.
always follow orders. Well, here's the deal. The guy, the thug that shot Ashley Babbitt was just following orders. His orders were to patrol inside the Congress, right? That was his orders, right?
Right.
So
what
his
right.
orders led to the murder of Ashley Babbitt, and he's a thug, and he should have been put under the jail for that. But they pushed that under the rug real quick, and now he got himself a damn, you know, promotion for it. But that's neither or. I mean, why should you follow orders?
He
you know,
should have been charged with murder.
You know, I want to give an example here. You know what? I get emotional about this kind of stuff. You want to know why? Because I sat in a federal courtroom when my rights were violated. But when they came in with their uniforms and all this spiffy stuff, the jury could never rule against the officers because they're always in the right. Bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what? This is a bunch of crap. Our rights, we're the boss. We the people. What is wrong with the public out there? What's wrong with society? We the people are the boss, not them. They're
right.
nothing special. They work for us.
See, that was my problem about...
You know, it's funny because we the people write the laws. We the people are the boss, and we write the laws.
There are no laws to write. We got constitution. The constitution's there to restrain. You know, I mean, the statutes are not laws. Codes and statutes are not laws. I'm not a statue. I'm a man. You know what's going on here? I mean,
go right ahead and just disobey orders. That's okay.
Yeah.
Go disobey orders.
Chime in on this, please? Just
go ahead.
Considering that I spent 23 years as a police officer and never killed anybody, I think we should be able to find a happy medium between a police state and the condition that Haiti is in right now, when there is no law enforcement at all for all practical purposes. Let's find that happy medium. And first of all, let's establish one thing clearly, bright line, dividing light. No police officer is exempt from any law. Police officers are as bound by the rule of law as any other citizen, and that would include doing something that is criminal for which they do not enjoy the protection of their office. So let's get that straight. So, anything I say after this is to be understood with that in mind. No police officer is beyond the rule of law. Every law applies equally to every police officer, like does any other citizen. And the law will establish what the exceptions are, particularly with regard to using force, because after all, police officers can use force in circumstances that ordinary citizens can't. Then on the other hand, citizens can use deadly force in some circumstances that a police officer cannot. So, again, it depends on the law. Everybody is bound by the law. Now, what we got here is a case. When I was in the police academy, they told me I did not have to obey any unlawful order. In fact, if I knew the order was unlawful and a violation of law, I was bound by my oath and the law to disregard it, disobey it, and report it or take appropriate action when I was. Michael Byrd was bound by the rules of deadly force with regard to the D.C. Police Department, and they were pretty much the same ones I was involved in, because the federal government helped to develop the use of force continuum that almost every police department in the United States has adopted. And that says that you do not use deadly force on anyone unless that person is doing something that is an imminent deadly threat to yourself or someone else. That is the only justification using deadly force, and that clearly was not present in the case of Ashley Babbitt. So he should have been prosecuted. The problem is not anything with the law or even with Capitol Police regulations. The problem is those with responsibility to see that something was didn't do anything about it. Now, with regard to this golfer, in this case with this golfer, look, first of all, I ain't going to make nothing about that until I got some evidence on which to make a decision. I ain't going to say nothing about it. I ain't got enough evidence yet, so I ain't going to say it. But with regard to Mr. Forston, or Airman Forston, who was killed down there in Florida, I have at least seen enough to make a preliminary examination. And based on what I see preliminarily, it is not beyond reason that the officer perceived a potential threat to his life. I'm not saying that he did. I'm saying it's not beyond reason. There's no doubt that his department is civilly liable for the man's death because he wasn't involved in any domestic violence. So they're going to be civilly, at the very least, responsible for his death. There may be a criminal element involved, but for God's sake, I'm going to wait on the investigation to make a final determination on it. But based on what I've seen, I'm saying it's iffy. It's half and half, half and half, no.
Yep.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Your house is your castle. And you can walk around with a gun if you want. It happened in another place. Where was it? Damn it. Where the police came and looked through the window and seen the homeowner with a gun, and he fired through the damn window.
What was that at? I think it was in Georgia. I'm not sure.
It was in Texas, I think.
That might have been another thing. The police came, and the front door was open because the homeowner was fixing some food, and it was burning and smoking up the house. She was letting the smoke out. So the cop, the dumbass, peeked through the front window, seen somebody with a gun. He starts shooting through the window, and they didn't know. Just all of a sudden, here comes some bullets. And remember the days where you had the international student, the Japanese that was confused with a row of homes, and he stayed in one, and he went to the wrong one. His key didn't work, so he started climbing through the window.
Yeah,
and the homeowner
that.
Killed him.
Yep.
Isn't that
yep.
sort of like
that.
Ashley Babbitt?
Homeowner is different, though. A homeowner is not bound by the same restrictions that a police officer is. A homeowner, if they sense a tumultuous entry into their home, there's a presumption that tumultuous entry is going to be accompanied by a threat to your life. In almost every jurisdiction, that's what they believe. Somebody breaking in your home, breaking a window to come in your home is out to do you harm. So a citizen, a non-sworn citizen, because cops are citizens, civilians too, let's get that straight. A non-sworn civilian is not bound by the same restrictions that cops are in a case like that. Someone come into your house, you have no idea of why they're breaking the window to come into your house. And when they come into your house, there's a presumption that they're about to do you harm. Unless they have solid evidence that you knew they were not a threat, you're going to be given the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
Well, this police officer apparently knocked on the door, didn't make no announcement or nothing. The homeowner opened the door with a gun in his hand, and this idiot goes to shoot. There's something wrong with him.
Oh, yeah, I can see him being liable. Again, though, I want to wait on the investigation. I want to hear what he says on oath. I want to see what everything else that you could find is about it. And if there's anything wrong, yeah, he's got to pay the penalty for it. I'll tell you one thing, though. I don't believe.
They have already determined that the officer acted in self-defense. It's like if that was like almost immediate. Before any actual investigation has occurred, that doesn't smell right. In the case of that airman in Florida, the officer did. He knocks on the door, and he did say sheriff's department. Knocks on the door again, and then the guy answers the door, and he has his firearm in his hand. Pointed to the ground, off to his side, and then the officer just immediately shoots him 6 times, and then it's like as an afterthought, orders the guy to drop his gun when the guy's already been shot 6 times and he's on the fucking ground.
Let me have a show of hands here.
Maybe he should have ordered him to drop his firearm first.
Okay.
You know?
All right, let's have a show of hands here. Does anybody believe that this officer intended to kill this man when he knocked on the door?
He shot him six times,
obviously. But I'm saying before the door was open, does anybody believe he was at the intent to kill this man before he opened the door?
He should have known, Sarge, that this is a homeowner. His house is his castle. He's got a right to have his gun. You know, I'm going to tell you, when you resigned, Sarge, I bet the whole damn department was glad as hell that you left because you was a good cop.
Some of them were, actually. I didn't go along with my bosses. I'm telling you the truth. But look here, man. I understand what everybody's saying. Believe me, I do. And, I think that this has got – I don't see how they could come to a preliminary conclusion that damn fast. Seems like this definitely warrants an investigation because I'm certain this man who answered the door with a gun in his hand was in no way a criminal. He was an honorably serving member of the Armed Forces of the United States. So I don't think that there was no indication that he was. So the question is, what, A, at the very most, I could, this is come to be a manslaughter at the most. Negligent manslaughter, voluntary manslaughter, certainly not murder. I mean,
well,
I understand people might want to call it that, but certainly not murder, I don't think.
You know, you got another criteria going on here. The man was white. He was white.
Yeah.
If he had have been black, if it had have been black, it would have been. No, the homeowner was white. The golfer, I know he was white. Because if it had have been a black person, it would have been all over heaven's creation.
Oh, no, the airman that was killed was black. The black man was killed. I saw a picture.
Well, then things are starting to wear off then because I ain't heard anything about it.
And the deputy who killed him is apparently white. He might be Hispanic, but I think he's white.
And one thing for sure, Joe Gibson was white when they beat the hell out of him.
Look, man, I told you guys once, but I want to remind you, the worst beating I ever saw police officer administer to somebody who didn't deserve it was a white man, and it was Chicago cops that did it. And we had a pursuit that lasted about 14, 15 miles. He didn't pull over. And I had called for assistance from Chicago cops because I was getting ready to go in Indiana. And the Chicago cops showed up by 8 or 9 squad cars, and we were all pursuing him. We got him boxed in and got him, forced him to pull over to the shoulder on the Dan Ryan Expressway. And these cops just went up to that damn van, pulled him out the van, and started beating him like 90 going north. He was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man, and I never forget his name. It was a Polish last name. First name was Stanley. And they beat him like I've never seen anybody beat. Because they said, you don't run from the police. This is what happens to your ass when you run from the police. That didn't make it right.
Remember the cases
that didn't make it right. But I'm just saying, hey, that's the way it works.
You remember the cases in New York where you had this white cop was beating the hell out of this suspect, and a black female came up and tried to stop him because she seen what he was doing was wrong. He turned around, smacked the hell out of her. Then she was up on charges that caused her to lose her pension. And you had another cop in New York. He was Asian. He come walking down. He seen a black man go down the stairs. He's walking down the stairs and came and confronted this guy and shot him before he even asked any questions. I mean, you got people out there that's plumb crazy under the disguise of being police officers.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why you the citizenry, are in charge of your police department. You've got them see to it that the people who are appointed, elected by you to oversee these people, keep a rein on them. Because, look, the problem with a lot of cops is they think they got more power than they got. You got a lot of authority, yeah. You got the authority to make arrests. You got the authority to serve warrants. You got the authority to make traffic stops. You got the authority to detain people. But when it comes to power, if your politicians want to throw you under the bus, you're gone. You're going to be gone. And that's why a lot of cops who get badge heavy fail to make that distinction. That's why they get trouble.
Yeah.
And you see, guys, that was the problem with the Bird thing with Ashley Babbitt. After he did what he did, the Capitol Hill Police Department made a determination that it was all that he was doing it, and he did it because he was self-defense. It was him defending himself. Well, the problem with that is Ashley Babbitt didn't have a weapon.
Oh, there's no way they can make a self-defense claim. That woman posed no imminent threat to him or anyone else when he shot her. She hadn't even made it to the window frame yet.
Scariest thing, Sarge, is that citizens think like what Boyd just said. As long as he's following orders, he could do whatever he wants. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if it's illegal, he can't. Not
scary.
If it's patently
that's
illegal,
scary.
He can't. That's why we have these different levels of government. Yeah, he might get away with it at his local level of government, but the idea is somewhere along the line, somewhere along the judicial review, somebody will catch the illegality of the act. The problem for Ashley Babbitt is that it's the damn federal government. Who are you going to appeal higher to than the federal government? It goes to the appellate level and a civil right. There's nobody up above them. For appeal.
Scary. And you're not going to at that time, Sarge, you weren't going to, he wasn't, his, her family wasn't going to appeal to Nancy Pelosi, you know.
Hell no, of course not.
Yeah. No, so go ahead. I mean, you know.
Well, look, just remember one thing, though, guys. Remember this, though. All of you have an inalienable right to protect your life against any deadly physical attack from anyone. I don't give a damn what badge they wear on their chest. If they are unlawfully threatening your life, you have the absolute right of self-defense up until that of using deadly force to stop them. Here's the problem, though. If you do, you're going to have to show that you are justified in doing it, and we all know that's going to be a pretty hard task to do in many cases. Not to say it's impossible, because some people have been able to beat it. And as Priyanka pointed out, in the state of Indiana, look at the idea that a tumultuous entry by the police into your dwelling when they make a mistake in the address could mean that you would have the right to defend yourself with deadly force against that intrusion. So some states are looking at it in a different way.
Oh, God. Yes, Sarge, I know. So what happens when we got people on a jury like Boyd, and yes, you're going away. You're getting a death penalty, you know?
Yep.
Here's the problem, though. We're not supposed to just make a categorical assumption on either side of the argument. You got to look at the circumstances and the law, and then you make a decision about the rightness or wrongness of a thing.
Yeah.
Not categorical assumption.
And I'm on jury, and I'm called to jury duty on a case in Baton Rouge in the court, and I get kicked off the very first goddamn day because I asked a damn question.
There you go. See? That's just it, man. I mean, nobody's supposed to be exempt from the law, not cops, especially not cops, because they're supposed to know better. So, I mean, yeah. I understand. Look, when you show a cop like them Rampart cops in LAPD in the Rampart Division, or those cops up in New York in the 77th Precinct, or the cops in Chicago or Somerville, hey, when that's found out, you've got to make an example of them because of the authority they're given. But look, you can't make an assumption about it, though. You can't make an assumption.
Maybe,
you've got to look at each case individually.
Maybe Boyd misunderstood what I was talking about. I don't know. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't know which angle I was coming from. I don't know. You know? I don't know. I just can't see him thinking like this.
Well, look, I think we can all agree that even the present state of occasional cop malfeasance is better than what's going on in Haiti. I think we can all agree with that, can't we? We need some level of law enforcement to keep civic order and peace.
Dealing with? I mean, you're dealing with a general public, too, Sarge, that lives in huts. They live in straw huts. You know, they don't have toilets, even.
Oh, God.
But
then again, when you had the law enforcement in New Orleans after Katrina, law enforcement went in there to try and take people's guns.
Take people's gun. Ain't that a bitch?
Ain't that a bitch? Man. When they need it the
they
most,
no Second
the
Amendment,
cops can't protect you. I mean, you think of
they
all the
no
chaos
Second
in Katrina. Yeah, when you think of all the chaos in Katrina, the law enforcement is breaking down. You got gangs roaming the street everywhere. The police are overstretched. They can't respond to calls, but they got enough police officers to go door-to-door confiscating guns. I couldn't believe that.
When the militia comes
talking
in.
About a national, an emergency. No emergency trumps the Constitution.
Right. No.
Damn.
Bad weather. Bad
that,
weather.
That's when you need it the most.
Yeah. Well, they let the criminals out of jail. They went to Houston, and there was deaths every day. They were fighting over drug turf in Houston. Y'all weren't down here. Y'all don't know what went on down here.
Yeah.
There were, what do you mean, yeah? That's the truth.
Yeah,
they let
everybody
out of jail, and they went to Houston, and there were 3 and 4 people killed every day. That is
well,
true.
That's what comes first.
So what's that mean?
Well,
we
got to
give up our guns? So what's that mean?
Yeah,
we got to be disarmed?
Need to be well armed, especially
yeah.
You women. What are you going to do, show them a boob, and they're going to let you go?
So we need to suspend the Constitution,
sure,
then.
We don't have enough cops right now in the streets. We are severely
understaffed
in where I live. severely. It's a problem. Crime is rampant.
Well, that's when,
that's
when citizens should well arm themselves. The police can't stop you from being mugged. Only thing they do is respond to calls after the effect. That's all they can do.
Yep.
A
police officer is an armed historian. Most of the time they get there after the event then occurred, and they record what's already happened. And I mean, I really can't stand these police administrators who try to give the public the impression that they can always be there to stop crime. Everybody knows they can't do that. And they keep trying to give you the impression that if you just hire enough police officers, they can do it. It's impossible. They can't, and they never will.
One thing is,
let's put tanks.
When we had a bigger police presence here, we had lower crime.
Oh, no. It's a fact. Numbers, that's been well proven that more cops does not equal less crime.
That's not exactly true, Joe.
No, that's been proven.
No, that's not
Look
what the,
at the FBI.
That's not what
yes,
the fact
is
Joe.
True.
Not with regard to homicide, but with regard to crimes of public disorder, it is definitely true.
Okay. Look at England. They took away the Second Amendment in England. There's more crime spiked.
Yeah, I know. That's why we should take away the Second Amendment. I'm just saying that what police do provide. Look, broken windows in New York proves it. What Rudy Giuliani did when he administered the changes that David Dinkins had allowed to just go forward for 4 years, when Rudy Giuliani instituted the broken windows theory of policing, public crime went down drastically, man. I mean, Times Square was as safe as any city in the United States. Do you realize that in the best year of Rudy Giuliani's reign, there were 323 homicides in a city the size of New York in 1 year? Think about that for a minute. 323. The peak had been like 1,500 under Dinkins.
Actually,
works. It definitely works. There's no doubt about it.
Actually, no, you're wrong, Sarge, because what got Giuliani elected in the first place was like 4 or 5 straight years of 2,000-plus murders.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You're correct. You're correct. Thank you for correcting me. It was even worse than that.
Well,
I should say
I've had a home invasion, and I am damn glad for the cops, who were both black, came to my house with their guns drawn while they thoroughly searched my house, the front yard, the backyard, and every cabinet, in the attic, everywhere in my house. And I am damn grateful.
The criminals were gone.
Well, you're an exception to you're anti what I stand for anyway. So it doesn't matter. Of course, you're going to think like that. You're anti republic. You're with the New World Order.
Well, wait a minute, Joe. So you don't believe the cops have any deterrent effect whatsoever in crime by their mere presence? Because that's a well-established theory of policing. Police presence does have a deterrence on public disorder and crime. There's not too much doubt about that.
Sarge, it does not make me feel good to see a police officer on every single corner. You know that?
Well,
I don't want to live in a police state.
Yeah, I understand that. But you're saying that it doesn't have an effect on crime and public disorder when every single study I've seen shows the opposite.
Right. And I just want to go back to what we were talking about with Giuliani and the broken windows thing. His theory was you stop the little things and the big things don't happen. They were having problems with, like, I'll give you an example, people jumping the turnstiles to get in the subways, not putting their things in the turnstiles, right? Well, you got a guy that jumps the turnstiles, what happens? That guy ultimately might end up on the train and might rape somebody, you know?
Yeah, criminals are human beings, man. They respond to the same kinds of incentives any other human being does. And they get signals, too. When the little crimes aren't enforced,
and there's a multitude of them not being enforced, it creates an atmosphere of lawlessness. Criminals respond to an atmosphere of lawlessness, and they take advantage of it. That's, I mean, I don't, that's as clear as a bell everywhere you go in these big cities in the United States. Yes, Mr.
Right.
Clark, Chief Clark in Detroit. When Chief Clark in Detroit adopted many of the same measures that Giuliani, or rather Commissioner Braddock, I think his name was Braddock, when Police Commissioner Braddock in New York adopted, crime in Detroit plummeted.
Let me tell you what I saw today, y'all. Let me just get your opinion on this. Okay. In nice neighborhoods, but on the main fairs where there are stores, right, main intersections, on two separate incidences, there was a man and a woman with children sitting in the median at the corner there between the stoplights. East and westbound traffic, south and northwestbound traffic, panhandling. Now, I'm talking about school-age children and preschool-age children. How can they get away with this? They're putting those children in danger. I can understand people get out there panhandling, but panhandling with children? Come on. Shouldn't the police be able to put an end to this? But they won't do it. And another thing, because we don't have the police to do it anymore. Another thing, in a nice area, there's been an apartment complex, well, there's several, where the owners of these apartment complexes do not live here. And the empty apartments are being taken over by the homeless people. And the police are not allowed to go in there and do anything about it. They have no jurisdiction to go in there and remove those people. So.
That's where the problem
where
was.
That's your prosecutor.
No, they're not prosecutors. They're homeless
people.
No,
I said that's your prosecutor. Like that first black female prosecutor in St. Louis told the police on shoplifting calls, if the thief look like they need what they are shoplifting, don't charge them.
But this is, this is a breakdown in society that we're witnessing. This is
it's actually a breakdown of following the laws.
It's the breakdown of a nanny state. That's what it is the people don't community police themselves. That's the problem.
They call it reparative justice. They have a specific term for it. The intent is to remedy the wrongs of the past. And in doing so, that means, in their mind, giving free rein to criminals.
Let me tell you what happened. You're talking about community policing. When we had that big freeze a couple of years ago in February, and inside my house was 8 degrees. 8 degrees. That's the temperature inside my house. We were bundled up. No water, no electricity. Okay? I immediately thought about what's been to all the homeless people, because there were a whole, before they cleaned it up, there were a whole bunch of homeless people. Do you know who took care of those homeless people? People with money in this town took care of those homeless people. The charities didn't help them. The city didn't come to the rescue of them. But those goddamn government buildings downtown and in the big financial district downtown, their light stayed on in their buildings. The rest of the city was dark. Hospitals had to shut down. People died because of this. The generators, I mean, they had to move people. They sent people home from the hospital. It was really bad. No grocery stores were open. There was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to go to buy food. They left a few stores open, like Walmart, and you could get some home delivery, or you could order from Amazon. That was it. But the people who took care of the homeless people and took care of each other were the citizens of the town. It wasn't the government. And it was wealthy people that paid for, got them in motels, at least got them out of cold and out of shelter so they didn't freeze to death. Anyway, I just want policing. I think that my town does come together when it comes right down to the most vulnerable people here. But when you count on the government to solve any of these problems, they're nowhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you look at Chicago, and I kept count. For 4 years, my last year is going to end Memorial Day this month. The first year, 2019 to 2020, you had black-on-black crime. You had 4,000
875 shot with 800 and some odd murdered. Out of all of that, no white police officer shot nobody. And then when you get a damn mayor like Lori Lightfoot who gives out the order that the police is not supposed to chase anybody on foot, so what the hell? What the hell?
Right. And
it was so bad. Wait a minute, Dave. It was so bad that the kids going to school, walking to school, they had on bulletproof backpacks, and they would walk or run zigzag to prevent from getting hit by a bullet. One that same year, you had one of the major hospitals put a closed sign on its doors. It had so many coming in, they couldn't keep up with them.
You know, and think about this. Here's how bad it is with New York right now, New York City. These illegals that are committing these things, okay, these shoplifting and all this stuff in New York City, what they do is they go down to Florida, they be good little citizens, and they don't do anything, and then when they run out of money, what do? They go right back up to Chicago, up to Florida, up to New York City, commit another crime, and get more money. That's because they know they're not going to go to jail for any appreciable amount of time, if at all, and they can do that. They get away with it.
Well, look, I think we can all agree that the current iteration of this chaos started during that summer law when St. George Floyd got his due. When St. George Floyd got his due, and he had those idiot congressmen up there in Congress, idiot demon rat congressmen, Nancy Pelosi, with the kente scarf around her neck, kente cloth, kneeling in the Capitol, couldn't even get up off her knees when it came time to get up off it. And all of these George Soros installed prosecutors took their cue from them people, right then, right there. And that's what we're looking at, the current cause of all this mess, is we go right back to the death of St. George Floyd of fentanyl.
Hell, you got that Kim Gardner in St. Louis. They can't find her. She's got,
yeah,
don't have 10 subpoenas. 10 subpoenas.
That's right. She done lammed out. She done lammed out.
She was working as a nurse. They can't get go. She don't show up to work. So where the hell is she? She was the number one police officer in the city of St. Louis. She's gone. She's on the lam.
Amen. Man, they say that her office was involved in financial fraud and other kinds of malfeasance that's criminal. And all of a sudden, you know, remember, she's the one that charged the McCluskeys for defending their home. Just standing outside with firearms in their hands.
Then she going to have the police to go back and get the gun that Miss McCluskey was had, which was a prop. He took it, ordered to take it to a gunsmith and make it operable. What kind of crazy mess is that, y'all?
Corruption, pure and simple.
Yep, it is.
And it was rampant in every one of these big cities that blew up. They were all governed by the same type of prosecutor. Kim Fox in Chicago, Marilyn Mosby in Philadelphia, what's the goofball, George Gasconi in, I forget where he was.
L.A.
George Gasconi in L.A., Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. This dude who did get disbarred and sent to jail, all of this a little bit earlier, Mike Nifong, that guy in the Crystal Gale Magnum thing with the Duke lacrosse players, they were all a specific type of prosecutor, and they all reacted in the wake of the summer of love in exactly the same way with nearly identical policies.
You want dinner?
And look at that, look at the Wesley Bell that got elected on the hills of the Mike Brown stuff there in Ferguson. He got elected as County St. Louis County prosecutor. And when he gets elected, he makes a statement that he's not going to seek the death penalty. Well, hell, not one time, but more times, but this one in particular, you had a white police officer by the name of Lansdowne. Walks into a store there on Page Avenue in Wellston, about three blocks north, I'm sorry, west of St. Louis City Line. Around the same time, you had the NAACP warning blacks traveling through Missouri you shouldn't because you'd stand a chance of being killed by a white police officer. He walks into the store in the midst of a robbery, gets into a struggle with one of the black culprits. I think he was the only one. The culprit gets him down, stands over him, and pumps bullets in him. He flees. White police officer chased him down and caught him and didn't harm a hair on his head. Now, what did that make the NAACP? See, we got so much stuff that's messed up. I don't know what to say. And if people are crazy enough not to be armed when they travel hearing about, if you're crazy enough not to teach your wives and daughters and sons how to protect themselves under situations, I don't know what to say. This stuff goes on. You just don't hear about it all the time.
Yeah, and here's the deal. When you got these so-called law enforcement officials that grew up when that probably were young and probably cheered when O.J. Simpson got off, you know, like Big Tish James and Big Fannie Willis and all these people, you got a problem. I mean, yeah, we're seeing that the appeals court in Georgia is going to rehear the Fannie Willis deal, but we'll see what happens with that. But these crooked and obviously biased people, you know, that are in power right now, it's like Bongino says, it's not hypocrisy, it's hierarchy. They're in power and you're not. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Well, Marilyn Mosby is asking Joe Biden for a pardon, by the way, in case y'all didn't know. She's made a formal application to Joe Biden to pardon her for her federal convictions of mortgage fraud and two counts of perjury in a federal court.
Why do y'all think all these problems are Democrat and Republican? Why do you blame it on the Democrats and not blame the Republicans? I don't get it.
Because I live in the city of St. Louis, a city that was Democrat for 70-some-odd years, even before I was born.
Only the Democrats can recall Kim Gardner. Only Democrats could recall Marilyn Mosby and Peacher. Only Democrats do something about George Gascony and Larry Krasner. No matter what problems Republicans have with it, the only people who can directly do anything about those people are the Democrats who are in charge of them.
And remember, what's her, our current alleged vice president was a what first? He was an AG or a DA first? Our current alleged vice president. I believe Mike Nifong was a Republican, but I'm not sure about that. All the rest of them, you know, you got to look at the party affiliation with these people. I know we talk about the uniparty and all that stuff, but again, most of these people that are crooked have what behind their name? A D.
Oh, you don't think Republicans are crooked?
No, I'm not
saying they're not crooked. I'm saying that as of right now, Big Tish James, what is she? Fannie Willis, what is she? The guys who tried to get Trump off the ballot in Colorado, what are they? You know?
See, got two things going on there. You got one, these people are black. And I'm black, and I'm telling you, they are black and they Democrat. Never have I seen the kind of stuff that goes on in these black Democratic districts that go on in white Republican-led districts. You can't point it out. Show it to me, please. I beg of you. You want me to get down on my knees? It don't happen. They don't remove. Wait a minute. They don't remove the corruption. They live with the corruption. I've seen school districts where whites came out. They're in Hawthorne School District, and there was an accounting error that showed some discrepancy. The whites in that district came out and got everybody off the goddamn school board. Superintendents, principals, you ain't going to have that in no black district. Hell, if anything, your lava get rewarded.
Yep.
But even old-style Democrats knew how to keep basic civic order in the cities. I guarantee you, Richard J. Daley would never have allowed Chicago to be the way it is. Never. Not in 1,000 years. That guy Rizzo in Philadelphia, they call him a racist. Well, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be seeing Philadelphia with the murder rate it's gotten now. Rizzo is still the mayor. There was Democrats once upon a time who at least knew how to manage a city so you had a basic sense of order and safety. Basic. These Democrats now, there is none. It's zero. It's like anarchy and lawlessness, and they are fostering it.
Yeah.
And they're the only ones that do it that way.
Okay, let me ask you a question. All the illegals coming across the border and being flown into the country, you think that's a Democratic a plan, or do you think
that's
that both
the Democrat,
parties
that's want what it? The Democrats planned, yes.
It is, but at least the Republicans are doing it too. Somebody's
breaking up badly.
Hello?
Somebody's breaking up badly.
Yeah, that's me. But like I said, it is the Democrats who create anarchy and chaos. The Republicans, yeah, they do the evil stuff too, but at least it's managed anarchy and chaos. I mean, I guarantee you, George W. Bush, and he was doing it too, you know, getting the H-1B visas and all these people in the country that didn't need to be coming here, taking American jobs, but at least they did it in an orderly manner. You didn't have Trump there and just filling up homeless shelters and Democrat cities all over the place. He would never have allowed anything like that.
Yep.
They all think that this is a Democratic plan to bring all these illegals in here.
You're damn right.
Normally, no, but right today, yes.
In this manner, yes.
Right.
It is completely a Democrat, yes. The way it's being done now, yes, it's Democrat. Definitely. No doubt about it whatsoever.
Okay.
They bamboozle one of their major constituencies, and that's black folks. They are bamboozled clean to the moon. I mean, just look
and,
at
and
it.
The part that is the Republicans' fault is not following through with what is right. They don't have the backbone to say, okay, this isn't going to happen because it's against the law or against the Constitution. They'll back off, and they shouldn't. So they're both.
Here's where the Republicans do their little nasty business. See, they bring a lot of these foreign workers in here on H-1B visas. I mean, they overload the system with H-1Bs. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But at least H-1Bs are vetted, for Christ's sake. I mean, what's going on now at the southern border is absolute anarchy. And I do not believe there's a single Republican, as bad as they can be, who would do it in this anarchic, chaotic fashion. I just don't.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
okay,
and
you
I
all
know
have your – I'm sorry.
No, there's a bunch of Republicans who are trying to do the right thing, but there's absolutely right at the moment, there's no Democrats who are.
Zero.
Because what the Democrats are trying to tell us all is that the border's broken, our government is broken, our laws are broken. No, they're not. Just start following the rules that are there. They'll be fine.
Okay. I understand what y'all are saying. So let's see who benefits from the illegals coming here in by the millions right now. Okay. We get a voter base for the Democrats, right? We also get cheap labor to help the Republicans. And then we get a whole big pool of people that we can draft into the military, or we can promise them citizenship, which is already Chuck Schumer has said they're considering that, to go into the military. I mean, a really cheap, you know, people willing to go in the military to get citizenship. So you don't see that three groups, can't you see that all around are benefiting from this? And let me finish one more thing. Down here, there's a city being built. It's massive. It's northwest of Houston. I forget the name of it. Libertyville or some bullshit.
Yeah, we know. We talked about that.
But you know who put that together? They were Republicans down here that did it.
You know why? Because they're trying to turn Texas purple. That's why.
But these were Republicans. These were Republican legislators.
You got some rhino Republicans that ain't worth a goddamn two. But when it comes when it comes down to the tip of the mountain that take the cake, it's these Democrats.
But
heck, I know this for sure.
No,
here's the thing about you talking about illegal.
No, listen. What I'm trying to tell you is that people who go into politics and join either party, they don't do it because they have these ideals of what America should be or adhere to the Constitution or anything. They join power bases, and they join the power base that's going to benefit them the most and where they can rise in power and benefit their families. It has nothing. We are sold as bill of goods to believe in Democrats or Republicans. It doesn't really exist. They're corporations.
Let me ask you a question. When you registered to vote, did you indicate your skin color as identify that you was white?
No.
That's the question that's on the voting register, on the registration. It asks you your party affiliation. Did it ask you your ethnicity? And they have black, white, and others. Well, see, here's the thing.
Not in Texas,
when you
they
give,
don't.
Well, they do in Louisiana.
They do.
That's why the judges are using that information to come up with these illegal, segregated, all-black voting districts. I changed mine and put other. I had black. At first, I changed it and put other. I wanted to put United States citizen. The lady said, told me that category don't exist. So when you participate in the whole scheme of things in the most unconspicuous way, you're helping that mess. We got to fight it from all different angles.
Well, listen, Pianti, seriously, this is a good discussion. I understand what you're saying. But I've arrived at a point in life. You and I are not that far apart in age. These problems have been going on since we were born. They were probably not as bad when we were born as it is today, actually. And we had a whole bunch of problems back then. And things have gotten a whole lot better. But the bad stuff has gotten a whole lot worse. And I don't see where we can think it's ever going to be fixed. I think these problems will always exist, and there's nothing we can do about it. I don't believe in either party. I don't believe in these parties.
I'm a Democrat, but you know, you was talking about Kat and I, and I got to get this out because I forget about it. We got over a million prisoners in U.S. jails and other stuff. They should be given the opportunity to rehabilitate themselves before you start bringing in people from other parts of the world, and you don't know if they criminals, legit criminals or not. You don't know nothing about these people. You got America, like January 6th, you got people that's been held without being charged. That there is criminal for them to be treated that way. You got Americans in prisons. You got Americans in jail. They need to, for whatever the reason, they should be allowed to be rehabilitated where they can come out and be productive citizens in society. They are United States citizens. How in the hell are you going to put somebody coming from other parts of the world where you don't know what their background is ahead of your own U.S. citizens?
Do you realize that the expansion of the prison system, especially with the private prisons, began under George H.W. Bush, not under Clinton? Clinton is the one who got it funded. We've had a uniparty since Reagan. I keep calling y'all this.
They said it was slavery.
They say it was slavery that brought me into, I guess, Sarge here to here where we are. I'm going to tell you something. I'm good goddamn it happened, because I can't think of no other place that I would be able to be and willing to fight for than the United States and to protect that document. Where else?
By the way, guys, the name of that settlement or whatever you want to call it outside of Houston, Colony Ridge.
Yeah.
That's what they built.
It's substandard housing, and people that live in there, they get these loans. They don't. I mean, it's going to be worse than any ghetto in this country. People are flying all different kinds of flags in there. They have no, you know, allegiance to the United States. It's substandard housing. It's horrible. It's just ridiculous what has happened. And the Republicans that put it all together and manipulated all these laws down here, and now there's going to be a big investigation into it. But guess what? It's too late. The developers have made a shitload of money. The point is, all this illegal immigration, all this crime and everything is big money. There's big money to be made out of poverty. And the Democrats do it, and the Republicans do it.
And you know what? You know what else, though? Remember the whole thing about Abbott shipping them up to New York and stuff like that? Well, I believe they want that because it helps them when the census comes. They don't have to vote there. They just have to be there for a head count. All
mm-hmm.
right? So you count, yep. You know, if you get a million or 2 million or whatever illegals in New York and they count them for the census, well, what's going to happen? More seats in Congress. More power for New York.
Well, you know.
Oh, no,
you know,
they're
going to
vote in this election. They're going to vote. There's no state in the union that asks you if you're a U.S. citizen when you get your voter registration. There's no way to check it.
You know, Sarge, the thing about these illegals, where is the outcry from black, quote-unquote, leaders? Where is Al Sharpton? They got him on ICE? Where is all that stuff?
On it. He's in on it. You don't have black leaders. They're part of the grift, too. We're watching a movie. It's all scripted. That's the way I see it.
I have another one who wants to come in. Hello? Guess not. Hello? You raised your hand. You want to come in.
Hey.
Okay.
Robert.
Yeah.
Hello.
How are you?
I didn't know if you could. Oh, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing okay so far.
Oh, good.
Where's your goddamn song? Where's your song?
You caught me totally off guard. I didn't realize you were going to pull me into this quick. I was just pushing the button to get in the queue to make sure my line was open if I wanted to jump in, and then I've got distracted doing other stuff, so you caught me off guard. Sorry about that.
Well, I saw your hand go up, so.
Yeah, that was just a little bit ago. But anyway, I'm just hanging out listening, and I'll jump in if I find an opportunity where I think I can add to the good conversation. You guys are doing great. Thanks.
Thank you. But, you know, one of the things that I see as a problem here in the United States is that everybody, when they make a vote or they vote in somebody new to try and change what's going on here, they don't realize that this has been going on for ages now. It's not going to change overnight, no matter who you put into office. And nobody seems to think that, you know, they bring somebody in new who's promised to do the right things and to do the right things, and then they find out that he's not right now because he's got too much opposition in government. Things have to change, and we have to start voting in the right people instead of keep continuing to vote in the wrong people. That's, you know, because right now they're just trying to tell us that, hey, everything in this country is broken. We need to fix it. No, we need to just follow our laws is what it is.
Well, see, a major problem you got, you're right, it's been going on for a long time. I have never seen it. I have never seen it notch up to full speed ahead like I'm witnessing now.
Yeah.
I have never.
I never have
and
either.
And then, too, the only conservative that's got any balls that I see is that of Marjorie Taylor Greene. Whatever cloth she was cut out of, they need to go dig it up and make some more like her.
Yeah.
I've seen her fighting two or three black Congress people today in a committee, and he slid right into them. Anybody else would have cowed down. You don't cow down.
She didn't. She sure didn't, that's for sure.
You go into a meeting, you got what's going on in your head is that you ain't giving up shit. You do not compromise. When you compromise, you're absolutely lost. And they keep chipping away at you because you compromise every time. The next thing you know, you ain't got nothing.
Yep.
The Democrats, that side of the coin, never compromises. Never compromises. They win. That's what they do. They don't compromise. You don't say, oh, we're not, you know, just because, you know, the whole thing about no more than 4,000, if once we reach 4,000, we'll do something about the border. That's not a compromise. That's them winning.
It shouldn't have been won. Not no damn 4,000. Shouldn't have been won. And see, here's the thing. They got white Americans so damn cowtowed and scared that you can have a whole mob coming at you, and all you got to do is holler out, racist, and they stop dead in their tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the damnest thing I ever want to see.
Yep, I agree.
No, we get together, we put people together, we get a group of people together, and it's the same thing that's been happening for year after year. We get a good momentum going or a group going, and then they get torn apart from infighting and propaganda. It's the same thing.
Yep. Exactly.
Look, Joe Gibson, if some blacks call you a racist, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to call them a racist back.
Yeah, well, when
here's what the Democrats are really excellent at doing, and I mean they do this so well. They'll come up with some outrageous demand, like we'll do something about the border when the numbers of illegal crossings get to say 15,000 or 20,000, something like that, right? And then the Republicans are looking around and say, "You got to be crazy! That's just too many damn people a day." And I'm about to say, "Okay, well, we'll make it 10,000." And the Republicans say, "Okay, that sounds reasonable." And see, they always get a victory on almost every bit of major legislation. They get a concession where rarely do the Republicans get it. Now, in part because you always got a few holdout Republicans who cross over the aisle with the Democrats, but the Democrats, you can almost count on it, are 100% in unison, lockstep, goose-step voting for whatever it is the Democratic agenda demands. That is the distinction. You get some holdouts of Republicans who go along with the rats, but the rats are always in unison. I mean, in almost every bit of major legislation you can imagine.
Yep,
yep.
I agree.
But there's a reason for that. It's because they take all that money from the defense contractors. They have to vote the way they're told to vote. So our politicians in Congress are just bought and paid for.
But
and we just...
By the way... By the way, guys, I found that clip where she did that other congresswoman was Jasmine Crockett. She went against Crockett and Ocasio-Cortez. I put that clip into the chat room, Robert.
I see that. Thank you.
God, please don't play that thing.
Oh, God. But that was so over the top and so improbable, man. I don't know what to make out of that one. Man. Man, I mean, that is the modern-day version of Preston Brooks Canaan, Charles Sumner in the Senate before the war between the states.
Yep.
I can't think of nothing more chaotic than what I was looking at there.
It sounded
you gotta remember.
It sounded like a Blog Talk Radio show.
The bottom line is it doesn't matter what we say. We're all Nazis, remember?
Right. And then think about this. There's some people that are saying, well, sometimes women just don't get along, you know, in workplace situations, in this particular situation.
She's a Nazi.
But here's the deal. Well, that too, but all you gotta do in this case, that whole situation was a toxic situation. You know? And a good example of that is look at what happens on most days with the View. That is a toxic
situation. What's baby girl mean?
Toxic situation. Because you look at the amount of posts they went through over the past, say, 15 years, you know, and the average length of a stay for a young person on that show is about 3 years. That's it.
Because
it's so toxic.
Well, I'm going to tell you something there, fellas.
When she said baby girl,
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was just trying to keep it real, man. That's all. That's why she called her baby girl. She's just trying to keep it real. Don't you know that by now?
What's happened to the girl?
She didn't remember
disgusting.
Where she was raised, man. She got a show.
Talk
she got
like
the
that.
Props. Remember where she was raised. She was raised as a middle-class bougie Latina. In a prep school, and now in order to keep her street cred, she got the scholarship from time to time. So she got to show she down with the cause. You understand? That's why she did what she did. Thank you. No, they're just being real, man. Just got to keep it real.
Yep. You know, but the problem with her is the problem with that situation is she's going against the wrong woman. You know. You look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley somewhere.
Well, you heard what she called her. Wait a minute now. You heard what she called her. She called her a beach blonde, built bad, butch bodied something or other.
Yeah.
And I tell you, look, Marjorie Taylor Greene looks like she's pretty solid and pretty strong. So, I mean, I don't know if Jasmine Crockett wants to challenge Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I don't know, Sarge.
I don't think she does.
I don't know, Sarge. Those Puerto Ricans like to pull up knives, you know, and blades.
No, look, Jasmine Crockett ain't Puerto Rican. It's about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She claims to be that. But Jasmine Crockett is a round-the-way sister. But I'm just saying, and Marjorie Taylor Greene looks pretty solid and pretty strong. Remember what she called her? She called her a butch built. That's by the way, that woman, who is she to be a gender shaming somebody? Is anybody going to call her out for that?
Butch built.
I didn't think about that.
She gender shames her, what I'm trying to tell you.
Yep.
That ain't allowed, man. Somebody better call her on the carpet for that one.
Here's the thing.
That could be a crime.
It is a crime in their lexicon. It is a crime.
I see whites always volunteering to get on their proverbial time machine and go back 400 years. Stay off of that damn time machine. Go to the damn Six Flags and get on a roller coaster ride. Stay off that 400-year time machine because they track you then when you do that.
Well, let's not forget, what was his name? They got expelled from Congress back when Bush was president, I think, and he pulled down his pants and mooned everybody.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Gary Condit was the only person who didn't vote to expel him. James Traficant.
Yeah, a Democrat.
Yeah.
A Democrat.
Of course.
But he was a Democrat I kind of liked a little bit.
kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, is that Americans vote for people and don't give them no damn marching orders. You just sit back to see what happens.
Yep.
You got to give them marching orders. They are your servants. That's why come each state needs to pay the salary of their elected federal officials.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the poverty that goes on in some states, they shouldn't be getting paid as much as in New York or California. And another thing, they should be on the same pension and same medical as the state employees are, not going to Reed Hospital or whatever the hell his name, not being in office for a minimum amount of time to receive your full salary for the rest of your life. That's a bunch of bull crap.
Yep.
They don't. They don't. They're employed vested after one term, after 2 years.
And Bianchi, think about this. You talk about they wait back for orders. Well, the Democrats are always giving orders. Think about it. What was her name that said? What was this woman's name that said? If you see these people in a store, if you see them in a restaurant, you go and attack them.
That was
Maxine Waters.
And what happened to her?
She's still around. She's still making noise. Are you kidding? She ain't going nowhere.
Nothing ever happened to her.
Bernie Sanders.
Well, Bernie Sanders.
Look what Kamala Harris said. Yeah, look what Kamala Harris said about the riders.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, not what she said about the riders, what she did about the riders. She helped establish a bail bond to get them out the joint. She said that not only should they keep doing what they're doing, they had to keep doing what they were doing.
Wow.
The only person in the whole damn country that's paying bail is Donald Trump.
Yeah. Millions and millions and millions
of dollars. Why don't we do the same thing? Why don't conservatives do the same thing? You know?
Yep.
You know what? You know, here's what I think it really is. I just think we have a reluctance to destroy the rule of law altogether. And I'm kind of glad that we do. Democrats have no such compunctions. Their whole existence is about power, and that includes transmogrifying the justice system to achieve it. Now, the one thing about conservatives, they are kind of reluctant to destroy the rule of law. Like I said, Democrats are eager to do it if it advances their power. They will destroy it utterly and completely. They will literally make crimes up out of nothing. Look what they're doing to Donald Trump. That man, Fat Alvin Bragg, has yet to prove a crime against Trump yet. We don't even know what the crime is yet, despite all his testimony. What is the crime to elevate this thing from a misdemeanor to a felony? What is the crime that is yet to be established in this court?
Yeah, what crime did he commit?
He didn't
what
do
crime?
Any. They're just doing it. They're doing it because they can.
Why are you yelling?
And because nobody's stopping them.
Nobody's stopping them. Why should they stop them? There aren't any consequences.
Well, let's just prosecution. That's a crime.
Not for a Democrat.
Yeah, who's going to prosecute it in the state of New York? You think Merrick Garland's Justice Department is going to take up a civil rights violation against Donald Trump? Hell no.
Floating multi-jurisdictional court. Multi-jurisdictional court, Sarge. There's one of those that floats around.
Where does that exist? Where does that exist?
I know it's only one, but I got the paperwork for it. I want to get that out because I don't know if you knew about that or not.
It doesn't exist.
I have the paperwork. It's got a clerk's office and everything.
I'm saying it doesn't exist under the United States. If it does, it's in a state. It's not in the federal government.
It's in the Constitution anymore.
A citizen can come together with their own court, their common court. You don't have to be a lawyer to be a judge. A group of citizens can put that person on trial and say, we found him not guilty.
Find a state
like
that allows citizens grand juries. That's unique. You need to go to a state where citizens can convene a grand jury by plebiscite or vote.
There are a few states out there that allow you to do that. Not many, though.
That's where it should
but
be done.
But since they used to be able to convene their own grand juries, that's pretty much been set aside now.
You know what the crime is? There, in the Democrats' mind, you know what the crime is in Georgia? Contesting an election. That's the crime in Georgia.
Yeah, it's a new crime. Yeah, it's one of those unwritten rules.
You know what the crime is in New York? There is none. But their plan is to keep Trump off the campaign trail for 5 weeks.
If you look up the statute they're prosecuting Trump under, 75 Public Law 75-212, I think that's what it is. It is the only way it applies is if it's involved in a state election, not a federal election. I mean, everything about this is lawless. They're just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're right. The state has no business trying to keep a federal candidate off the ballot. That's where you get to the thing that there should be separate ballots. Separate ballots for federal candidates, separate ballots for state and local. You can do that. Because if they
allow
illegals to get that state ballot in their hand and it has federal candidates at the top, well, how are you going to stop the illegal from walking up to the top of the ballot and start putting marks? And then how you know who submitted the ballot? There's no identification on those ballots.
But remember, the federal agency with the jurisdiction over the federal election law that Alvin Bragg is trying to shoehorn into this case to elevate it to a felony declined to prosecute over it. The Federal Election Commission looked at all of these things that Bragg is prosecuting Trump for that there's no there there. And we and they are the ones that have jurisdiction over the offense.
Yep. You know, and here's something else to think about. There, this judge, this Eileen Cannon down there in Florida, is on the road to proving collusion, you know, in terms of between the White House and everything else, right? And think about this. You can, you know, think about what's happening in New York. One of the top guys in the Justice Department, Mr. Colangelo, quit. I don't want to call it quit, but he goes from a highly thing in the Justice Department in the DOJ to being the assistant to Fat Alvin Bragg because they want that case tried.
Yeah. This has to be among the most corrupt prosecutions ever let in the United States. And to say nothing of the fact that they're doing it against a former president of the United States with millions of eyes on it, and everybody can see that there's absolutely no crime here. Everybody can see it. And it's just proceeding like it's a normal event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you some things, too. Why come nobody hasn't tore down, no patriot group hasn't tore down John Brown's statue up there? Where is it, Sarge? Up there in Maine or something like that?
Something like that.
The man was conspiring to rob Harper's Ferry.
Yeah.
Harper's Ferry.
To steal weapons, to go around raiding plantations to kill white men, women, and children to release their property. I don't care how moral you want to look. It was property, which was at that time in this country was allowed to exist. And he conspired to go around and kill up people. And then you put a statue up on him.
Wait a minute.
But,
did kill people. In Kansas, he did kill people. He killed several families, took them out, and hacked them to death with a sword.
You want to attack Robert E. Lee? Hell, if it wasn't for Robert E. Lee and another lieutenant that went and broke that crap up, you would have had a lot of innocent people that was being killed. But they want to take Robert E. Lee's statue.
That was the plan. Mm-hmm. Even Frederick Douglass didn't want to have anything to do with it.
He approached Messenger didn't want to have nothing to do with it either.
That's right. None of them. No, they all said, no, this is crazy. You can't do this. It's not going to get us anywhere. It's only going to make it worse. And by the way, it did set the when this happened, and they saw the reaction of it to it in many quarters of the United States, the Confederacy dug its heels in deeper. Well, what would become the Confederacy dug its heels in deeper because they said, see, they want to unleash slave revolts against us and have massacres.
Not only that, look at all the white boys and men that fought for the Union. They got killed. What, over 300,000?
Yeah,
where's
just about.
Their reparations? They died leaving their wives and children to fend for themselves. Where would they have been today, generational, if they was allowed to have the benefit of a father and a husband in order to carve out a better stake in the American dream?
Yeah.
And
remember, all that death occurred in a country that had 34 million people living in it. We're not like the United States today with 330 or more million people living here. At the time, the entire population of the United States was 34 million.
And, guys, what about the all-black division that fought in the Civil War? What about those guys?
Yep. Well, it was more than a division. It was the United States colored troops, and out of that, there was about 180,000 of them distributed through several divisions and corps.
Mm-hmm.
And then sides of them, you had some blacks fought on the Confederate side too, by the way. You had the Iroquois Indians that fought on the Confederate side. But they both went out to fight on the Indian Wars out in the plains together.
Frankly, I mean, we talked about Bass Reeves before, but before he became a lawman, he was a slave. And he went and fought with his master in the Civil War.
That's correct.
You know Bass Reeves was a Creek Indian. He was not no what you call black. He was a Creek Indian. Yeah, a lot of them were Creek. Creeks owned slaves. And to become a Creek, you don't have quantum blood like you do probably in the Cherokee. I think you have to have a Creek mother and an African male that came together, and that child was born Creek. So it's a lot of things that ain't been told right. Like you made mention of 40 acres and a mule. Them acres belong to the Indians. So you're going to, if whites took it from the Indians, so you're going to take it from the whites and give it to the black, it's still Indian land. They're complaining about it.
Mm-hmm.
Indians didn't free their slaves till April 1866. And they told the federal government, if you want us to get rid of our property, you got to pay us for it, which they did. The last payment was either made to the Choctaw or the Creek in like early 1950s, $300,000+.
You know, and here's something else to think about, guys, and it's not taught in schools. A couple things about the Revolutionary War. One of the first spies was what? A black man, all right?
Well, it wasn't Christopher Addicks because he was dead before the Revolutionary War even came started.
It was a different guy.
All right.
And secondly, the second thing is everybody thinks there was only one rider on the night that Paul Revere went out for his famous ride.
You're right. It was two.
It was two. It was Paul Revere and it was a black guy that went north.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. He was. And then Paul Revere got captured or detained by British troops, but they eventually released him because they either made a mistake or he came up with a story to convince them to release him. So his body was actually broken up.
I had to learn it when I was a kid in school. Listen to people, and you should hear of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere.
on the 18th of April in 75, Harley the Man is now alive.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. But they
the same year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'll tell you one thing he did not say. He did not say the Redcoats are coming because they didn't use that term before, you know, the independence was declared because the British, they would have said the regulars are coming. And the regulars were regular British Army troops.
Absolutely. And nobody talks about that after Britain burned burned the White House and they were marching over to engage in New Orleans. It was the militia that gave them hell along the way, firing at using guerrilla warfare tactics at that time.
A lot of colonials also wore red coats, too, because colonial militia frequently wore red coats.
Mm-hmm.
You know why they wore red, don't you?
Because the dye was cheap and they were readily, easily able to make it?
No, it was because if they got shot, the blood didn't stand out so much.
Well, the reason all them uniforms back then were so gaudy was because you had all that black powder smoke hanging over the battlefield, and you had to. It was hard to see where your lines were, and you had these gaudy uniforms, you could tell where they were to reform them more easily. And that's why they carried the flags, because the flags would stick up with all that color. And you could guide on the flags. That's where the term guide on comes from.
Mm-hmm. And then of course, they had the pipe and drums there were used as signaling things to say, okay, these people are here, fire.
People have no idea when you fire a few volleys of them black powder muskets and the cannon, you can't see nothing. It's like a big fog of smoke over the battlefield.
Yep. Hell, you had a black man that was making saltpeter for gunpowder that he was selling to both sides in the Civil War. And it was Daniel Boone who built Fort Boonesboro, and they were fighting the Shawnee Indians. He sent a messenger to go over to Virginia to get some militia to come back and help fight the Shawnee.
Why wouldn't we do it back then?
It was the leader of the Shawnee's son that went up. Takumi, I think it was. It went up to fight with the British in the Great Lakes up in Michigan.
Well, I would just love to bring some of them guys back today and ask them what they make of the United States today. Now, I'm not talking about the technological advances. Sure, they'd be awed by that. But people like Thomas Jefferson, as smart as he was, he'd pick up on that stuff pretty quickly. And in a few months, he'd pretty much have the basic hang of it. I'm talking about the way people regard the country and the government. I just wonder how they'd regard all this if they could come back today.
Hell, the Shawnee attacked the fort and captured Daniel Boone's daughter and took her off, and as she was being led away, she was tearing off pieces of her petticoat and dropping them so they could track her. You know what her name was? Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
No, Jemima. Jemima, like Aunt
Jemima
pancake. Yeah.
Like Jemima.
Well, what about Molly Pitcher? You know? They had cannons and the guy who was firing the cannons, you know, got killed and she helped fire the cannons. You know?
Yeah, she stepped up and took his place.
Yes.
Yep. Well, we had patriots once upon a time, and, you know, like I said, I really would wonder what they would think of the way the country has changed in all that time from then to now.
Yeah.
They'd probably shake their head and walk away.
I don't think they'll walk away. They might say, you need another revolution.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna
they would sit there and say this. We put the fucking Second Amendment in the Constitution for a reason.
You ain't gonna get no revolution with these candy asses today, I'm telling you.
No.
Well, most of them may be, but remember, there's always a – look, we got a hardcore men out there. They're just kind of not – they're just not widely celebrated today. They're there.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, even during the Revolutionary War, it was, what, 3% who were actively engaged in military operations in the Revolution. And maybe a total of maybe 20% of the Revolutionary population participated, and most of the colonial population were loyalists. So we had to keep that in mind.
I think everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure.
So
really,
that hardcore men, I think, would come forward. I think there's enough of them. Just disregard the candy asses. The hardcore men will actually do something, will step up.
Robert, were you going to say something?
No, not really. I'm just listening here.
Well, just remember this about the Revolutionary War. It didn't end, 1779 or whatever it was. It didn't end until after the War of 1812, because the British came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, they didn't come back to conquer the United States. The war started because they were impressing American seamen on the high seas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would just seize them off merchant ships and take them in the British Navy. I mean, that was one of the biggest reasons for it starting. I don't think they're really intent on reconquering the American colonies.
But again, that was one of the things that started the Revolutionary Wars. They were impressing our guys on the high seas, you know? So, yeah.
That was the war of 1812, not the Revolutionary War, because the Revolutionary War, we were all still British.
You know, you look back in history, two culprits. You got two culprits in world history, Britain, France. We still living under the aftermath and after effects of the fact that Britain, the sun never set on British territory.
Well, no, we've taken that role in world history now. We are running the American Empire. We conquer other nations not by taking over their governments or colonizing. What we do now is we take other countries over economically. It's a much different plan. That's what I try to talk to y'all about. Foreign policy determines domestic policy, but it doesn't seem to sink in, so I just kind of gave up trying to explain it to y'all. That the American Empire is what's driving everything that's going on in the world today. We're at war with Russia and trying to take over as many resources as we can in the Eurasian area so that Russia doesn't get it. But maybe that's a discussion for another time when people are really interested in changing things instead.
Well, you're right. Like the United States State Department just told Niger don't be making friends with Russia and China. Niger's right above Nigeria, almost in Central Africa. They got no business to tell. That country can make friends with whoever the hell they want to. That's a bunch of bull crap. If that's the – and see, while Americans' attention is on elsewhere – that kind of stuff is going on, have always been going on.
That's right. When we're dealing with all these domestic issues and everything, and it's on the news, and it's just pounded into your head about Donald Trump's trials and the racial stuff and, you know, Obamacare, I mean, just the issues of the last 15 years, and we're not paying attention to the expansion going on, you know.
Russia is certainly concerned about resources. And they're certainly trying to seize resources. That's always a factor in any government's consideration. But they are mainly, they are paranoid. Their history is rife with invasion. They've been invaded more times than people have got hands on two hands and 2 feet. And, and paranoia involves a great deal of their attitude to a foreign policy, whether it's the Mongols, whether it's Napoleon, whether it's Adolf Hitler. Well, no matter who it is, they are concerned about their borders. That's why NATO getting up on their borders was bugging them so much. I think that bugged them more than any other single thing. They're paranoid. And I'm not saying they don't have justification. They don't have justification to be, because of the number of times they've been invaded in their history.
It's really not NATO getting on their border. It's us using NATO, NATO to get on their border, because we've already gotten the oil companies in there, and George Soros wanting to take over their gas industry. So we're already in there with Chevron and other companies in there. They're, the deals have already been made. And now we've just got to make sure that, that we're able to go in there and get that. They've got this shale over there that's got LNG in it that it's worth a whole lot. And then they've got all that farmland in Ukraine. Europe can't feed itself, so they need that farmland too. So we're just fighting for resources, which is what every war is about. And if we leave a country poor and broke and a whole generation of men killed, then so what? We're going to be able to have cheap gas and feed people and grow food. So a whole bunch of people have got to die for all this to happen. That's just what empires do. And that's what we, that's what we're doing with our national, with our foreign policy.
And to your point, Kat, when the idiot in the White House flat out told the Russians, we're going to blow up your pipeline, you know, he did say that, right?
He said that it wasn't going to go, it wasn't going to continue to exist. The veiled threat was there. I'm talking about Sleepy Joe, Senile Joe said that out loud in public.
Yep.
And George W. Bush, the whole time he campaigned, when he was asked about Saddam Hussein, he said that my administration would be dedicated to regime change in Iraq. And lo and behold, I mean, when he was governor down here, everybody that was in government, they were talking about they're planning a war, because Henry Kissinger was here all the time, and Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, you know, they were down there staying with George Bush at the governor's mansion, and everybody talked about they're down there planning, oh, and Colin Powell, good old Colin Powell, planning the next war. I mean, we were scared to death. People that were really paying attention knew the dangers of Bush getting in office, that there was going to be a war.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm
United
starting
States
to believe.
And Russia.
I'm starting to believe this, Kat, had Trump not gotten in there and had Jeb Bush won, it would have been another war.
Yep.
You know?
I tell you, like I said, we didn't have to alienate Russia. Russia is probably, it's got more enormous natural resources, particularly oil, natural gas, and particularly metals, valuable metals, than almost any other country on the planet. They have a leading world supplier of nickel, and nickel is critical to metallurgy and machining processes all around the world. The United States ain't got
Russia,
much of it.
Well,
Russia
right
cleaning
now,
up Ukraine.
There is a powder keg in Nigeria right now. The Nigerians, or Niger, wherever, you know, wanted us out and wanted and invited the Russians in. And right now, they're both American troops and Russian troops on the same damn piece of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
In the same base.
Well, if Niger want America out, they need to get the hell out of there. Leave them people alone. They say, you know, we need to get to the point where it has. I don't even want to get into that discussion. But when a country
mm-hmm.
says you got to go, it's just like we got illegals in this country. So when we tell them they got to go, what they going to say?
Well, you know, look, the leader, I mean, the prime minister said, this is what he said. He's blaming the breakup of the military relationship with the U.S. Of trying to dictate what countries Niger could partner with, and that they couldn't justify the United States troop presence there, which, after all, our status of force agreement that we negotiated with the Niger government. So that's what they're saying, that they got a beef with the U.S. about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everywhere in the world, you look around, in every country where there's been a populist uprising, and the people want to, like, they have a figure like Donald Trump, we've gone in there and stirred up trouble through color revolution, which is soft power, and then we foment real revolution, and they install somebody who ends up being a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Or they, something has happened and the leader is arrested or, you know, charged with something, put in jail, just anything to put down the revolution, to put down what the people want. You see it all the time in France. Macron keeps getting reelected.
Well,
Boyd is right about that, though. You got Russian and United States troops occupying opposite ends of an air base. And an air base runway is what? About a mile and a half long? You got Russian troops at one end, you got American troops at the other. That is a base. That is a formula for potential disaster.
It's no better, no different than Syria, when it was going on in Syria.
Yeah, as Niger tell the United States, you got to go and need to leave. You had Cote d'Ivoire told France the same thing. You know.
Well, I think AFRICOM is about ready to implode anyway. AFRICOM was that African theater command that they set up under Obama. But I think it's about ready to start imploding anyway.
Russia's no match for us. No match.
I wouldn't speak to them.
I wouldn't say that.
Not in their backyard. Not if we have to go in their backyard. Remember, logistics wins wars. The Germans found it out. If you don't win the war right away and you get in the war of attrition, you're going to have trouble, especially when you got to resupply your people from a long way away.
Yeah, they got
the war. Like
they got
no
ballistic
stars.
Missiles. They got ballistic missiles with multiple warheads on them. Heck, right off the coast of the eastern coast.
And yeah, I keep stressing, man, the Russians have yet to commit their reserves to this fight in Ukraine. They're still doing it on a relative shoestring.
Now, Russia is not our enemy. Our enemy is the federal government. It's the federal government that won't.
That's another problem. You know, when these idiots in the Congress pass that $60 million to go to the Ukraine, right, which everybody knows it's going to be more than that at some point. They're going to pass more than that, right? Everybody knows that. But they pass that $60 million. And what they do to give us the finger, all the Democrats and shit, you know, stood up and waved the Ukraine flag, you know, and all that crap, you know.
Russia's cleaning up Ukraine, right? They're cleaning up Ukraine. All the mafias over there, all that dirty money and everything.
That's true.
Yep. Hell, they just gave them another $1 billion, and Trump couldn't get half that amount to finish the wall.
Yeah.
They don't want to get the money. They don't. The money goes to the defense contractors.
That's what the people I'm in contact with in Ukraine are saying. They are saying exactly that. They're saying the money is not going to the fight in Ukraine. It's lining the pockets of government officials.
Yeah.
I'm talking to three people. I'm communicating regularly with three people, and they're all saying the same thing. They're saying that some of the troops are having to purchase their own ammunition for their assault rifles.
Now, we are paying government salaries and pensions over there. That is true. We are
paying. And Russia's having problems with that?
Say what?
And Russia's having problems with them, you said?
No, not really. They're having problems with them. I mean, it's not like, look, Ukraine ain't a pushover. They are fighting hard. I mean, make no mistake about it. But the Russians are slowly grinding them in a hammer. I mean, look at who they're recruiting, man. You want to hear what these people are telling me when they write me an email. They said the average age of a Russian infantryman in many of the frontline units is 45 years of age.
They're taking men with Down syndrome. They're taking anybody now.
Well, it's grim for these Ukrainians right now, Joe.
What?
The people that would be there are not, that would be in the 20, the 19, 30-year-old people that would be in the military right now are not there. They are away. They're not in country.
Americans are paying for all this. You give them aid. They take the aid and buy armaments that's made by defense contractors. Defense contractors collect the money. Then they give back an apportionment of that to the campaign coffers of these politicians. It's a big Ponzi scheme.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't want to put the American population up against the Russian population, period.
No.
Because I'll tell you what, those Russians will make do with whatever they have on hand. And they can do stuff that nobody over here would be able to do. When I was when I was in Vladivostok and putting up an antenna, we had to get a welder to come over and weld our bases down on the top. And they got some guy to come over to weld. And he came over with a wooden box. A wooden box. And he hooked it up to electricity. And he started welding. The welds weren't all that pretty, but they were very functional welds. And he would weld for about 5 minutes. And then he'd have to and put the fire out from his wooden box. But everything in his wooden box, from the transformer to the DC side, he hand wound all that stuff himself from materials that he scrounged.
Well, not only is that, but the women is strong too.
Yep.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube and you can. I watch these videos of how people in rural areas live around the world. And those people, now not everybody lives like this in Siberia, but there are people who live in Siberia. They basically live in tents, and they live an orderly, civilized life. And it's how they make do living in that element. Now, any American could not live the way these people live. There's no way that we could endure, you know, dependent upon going out and cutting chunks of ice. They live very barbarically, but civilized, and raise families in those conditions. It's amazing.
Yeah, they don't walk around the street. They don't walk around the streets with clothes on where half your naked ass is hanging out neither.
No.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because
I could tell you this, that a Russian woman will spend half the time to make herself look pretty as it does for these fucking women over here trying to make themselves look ugly.
Well, then, you know, like I said, I don't know what you're looking at then, because Americans are way better than Russians. Ain't going to knock us down, no way. Only takes a few of us. Quality always over quantity, always. Look how many Germans it took to beat look at the Russians, how many millions died, how many millions it took for them to defeat a tiny little country like Germany.
Well,
yeah, but the point is that they were willing to die to do it. It was Mother Russia.
They had no choice. They turned around and
shot. No, wait, you know what, though? Stalin really, later on, he toned down that communist shit, and he appealed to the Russian sense of patriotism. If you look at their war posters and their propaganda posters, They're talking about Mother Russia and the motherland. And they're not talking about Diantha Stalin or the communist China, I mean, Russian Communist Party. And it really did have a great effect on the Russians. They did respond to it.
Americans ain't going to fight like they did. Hell, look what they've done with the women uprooted factories and took them further into Siberia and dealt with the permafrost and rebuilt them.
Bianchi, look what we did to Iraqis. Look what we did to Iraq. Look what we did to Afghanistan. Look, they didn't stand. We wiped them out with no problem at all. And Saddam had the fifth strongest military in the world.
Joe, you're not going to compare the Iraqi military to the Russian military. No matter how inept they may have looked at the initial stages, you're just not. I mean, look. Don't underestimate the Russians. They may look inept from time to time, but they got a sound military doctrine. If they get the right commanders to enact it, believe me, they can give any army in the world a lot of trouble, especially on their own ground.
Yeah. Ukraine, Sarge? What are you talking about?
I've been studying the Russian armed forces since 1980, okay? Remember, since 1980, I've been studying the Russian armed forces and how to fight them and what their history is and what they do. They got a doctrine they call deep battle, and it is as sound as any can be.
Then how come they couldn't defeat Afghanistan and we did, huh?
You got to remember.
We defeated Afghanistan? How do you figure that?
Country. We got the whole country because we pulled out doesn't mean we lost.
Yes, it does. A lot of people draw the wrong conclusions from what happened to the Soviet Union.
I'm going to get some Navy SEALs to call in to my show next week, and we'll hear their stories. Yeah, okay.
Joe, don't draw the wrong conclusions from what happened to the Soviets in Afghanistan. All right? You got to remember. The Soviet Union was economically failing when they were in Afghanistan. They were everything for the Soviet Union was falling apart.
You keep making excuses for them.
Remember, the Soviet Union of then is not the Russia of today. It's another country.
It broke up. They were more unified back then. The Soviet Union broke
exactly
up.
Right.
Remember?
And that means they've consolidated. They've also consolidated their economy. Their economy is infinitely stronger now than it was then.
Lord,
they got rid of those troublesome republics that in many respects were actually dragging them down.
Really? Serbia, Yugoslavia, those were their best fighters. What are you talking about?
No, Serbia was an independent state. Serbia was part of the Warsaw Pact. But it was never really under Soviet domination. Yugoslavia was an exception. Now, we're talking about places like Kazakhstan and Chechnya and Mongolia and Albania and all those other places. Now, the Soviet Union is better off without them.
Mm-hmm. United States and Russia
not the Soviet. Russia is better off without many of those republics that were dragging them down with the Soviet Union in place.
United
it was just
States
too unwieldy,
Russia.
Too big, and it was too centralized, Joe. That was the problem. The Russian state was too centralized. It's still authoritarian. It's still centralized, but they can manage it much more efficiently.
Let me prove you wrong here. Sarge, the Soviet economy on average grew faster than the U.S. economy from the mid-1960s to mid-1970s. So what are you talking about? They had the strongest economy.
I'm reading it right here.
What are you talking about?
No, it didn't.
I'm reading it from the CIA website right here.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Okay, I'll put it in the chat. Okay,
You go anywhere in Russia during that time. They don't have food on the shelf.
Right.
I'll put it in the chat.
You guys can argue with the chat.
Frequently, you couldn't even find basic consumer goods like toilet paper, and the Russian people regularly complain. I'm talking about in Moscow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't go in the chat.
United States and Russia is not going to engage in a full-out war.
No.
I sure hope not.
We can crush each other economically.
Oh, let me post nothing in the chat. Damn.
And Russia produces its own cars, its own luxury goods. Russia's doing good. What Russia doesn't have are rivers that flow south. Their rivers all flow north. They have to have ports. So they have to continuously strive.
There's your proof right there.
To have access to ports.
Nothing in your house is made in Russia. You ain't got nothing in your home made in Russia.
But Russia is landlocked to the west and to the south. And they got except for the Black Sea and the Arctic Sea, they're pretty much a landlocked country. So they got to go. There's only one way they can go around is the northern part of the country.
I put the proof in the chat.
Well, look, I understand what the CIA was saying. But I'm telling you right now, man, the Soviet Union was
a Freedom of Information Act.
Economically, the Soviet Union was a basket case, and Ronald Reagan proved it when they tried to compete with both on the economic consumer front and militarily with the buildup that Reagan did in the 1980s.
In the 80s, Sarge. In the 80s. You said 70s.
It, Joe. I said
you
the 80s.
You said 70s. You said when they went into Afghanistan.
The war in Afghanistan.
Had a weak economy.
No. The Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan in 1979. That was right at the beginning of the 1980s.
In the late 70s, Sarge, okay, this is what I'm quoting here. They had a better economy
in
the United States. And they couldn't beat Afghanistan.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me
that's
the Soviet Union's GDP? Did you just tell me the Soviet Union's GDP was higher than the United States in 1979? Are you serious?
From the 60s to the 70s. I got it in the chat room. I just put the link in the proof. What do you thought?
I'm talking about my ass. Does that report say that the Soviet Union had a higher gross domestic product than the United States did? Is that what that report says?
Yes.
Oh, that's wrong. Well, that's wrong.
Okay.
United States has been consistently the highest GDP in the world since World War II every year.
Okay. No, Sarge, you're wrong. Just like when you were talking about World War I the other night. You're wrong, man. You may know your history, but you're wrong on some things. I'm going to tell you that right now.
What was I wrong about World War I about now?
The specifics, but you were wrong. I remember looking it up.
All right, wait a minute. You just said I was wrong about it. You don't remember what it was, but I was wrong about something about World War I.
For now, look at that document, and you're going to tell me that document's wrong. Shut up, Cat. I don't know.
I haven't looked at it yet. I know the United States has the highest GDP in the world.
You're fucking dead voice. You're screeching fucking dead voice.
I know
voice,
the United
you know?
States has the highest GDP in the world. Since World War II.
Sarge, you're going to argue with him? Really?
Now you're sticking up with Sarge. Any other night, he's a Nazi. Any other night, he's swinging dick with us. Now you're going to stick up for him. You're so fake. You're so fake, Cat. So fake with your fucking 103-year-old voice. Go fucking someplace else, will you?
Go fuck yourself.
You fucking loser.
Don't you have a place to jerk off to instead of
this is my place. This is my home.
Yeah. You will not.
Hey, look, I'm trying to get wax out of my ears. Stop cracking them jokes before I stab the shit out of my ears.
Anyway, the Soviet Union was never a success. That's why it failed. They put all their money in building up
The problem with what you've got, and you're saying, Joseph, is that you would get three or four divisions totally wiped out of American units because you underestimate your opponent.
No. Okay, Joe, let me give you the United States share of the global GDP. Since 1960. This is the global GDP. That means all the countries in the world relative to the United States economy. The United States GDP in 1960 was 40% of the world's GDP. That's the entire world. In 1980, it was 25% of the entire world. It's always hovered no lower than 23% since then. Russia never made up that much of the GDP. Never. Not at all of that time. Not even close.
Yep.
I guess you can argue with the experts then. And that, from
I'm
going to
argue. Send them to my face, and I'll tell them they're full of shit.
Okay.
I mean, we got the numbers of the GDP, and it's not like it's a secret. Every country publishes the GDP.
I just put the numbers in the chat. It's not like it's a secret, what I'm telling you.
I heard what you're saying. I'm saying that's incorrect. The United States has always been the world GDP leader since 1945 and before.
Where are you getting your facts from, Sarge? Where are you getting your facts from?
You can – okay. Right now I'm getting it from the the United States Department of Treasury and the United States Department of State.
Okay, the United States, okay. Let's talk about something on the global
scale
here.
Are you sure you're not missing? Wait a minute, I got another one too, the World Bank. The World Bank says this.
The Soviet Union did have the second largest economy in the world from the late to the mid-80s, from the end of World War II to the mid-80s. But it wasn't better than ours. That's true.
Not even close. Not even close, Joe. I'm sorry. What do you look at? You either misinterpreted it or it's incorrect.
I misinterpreted it. You're saying it's incorrect. That's fine. I mean,
yes,
you know,
I'm saying
again,
it's incorrect. I'm saying it's not true. I mean, if you believe a number is either greater than, lesser than, or the same as, no, it's not greater than the United
fact.
States.
All I know is this fact, is they got their ass kicked when they went to Afghanistan. We didn't. So how about that one?
We didn't get our ass kicked.
The circumstances were different, Joe. The circumstances were completely different. You had an allied front of factions in Afghanistan that worked more or less together. And they were backed up by the United States and its economic and military assistance.
And you don't think the Russians and other foreign entities were backing up Afghanistan when we went in there? Of course they were.
Not to the extent that we were, the Afghans. No, not it wasn't even close. The CIA was very effective at getting material to the Taliban groups in the Northern Alliance in particular that wasn't even – not Taliban wasn't even – I want to say Taliban. The Mujahideen. And the biggest component of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan was the Northern Alliance. And they were, to a great extent, fairly either neutral or pro-Western.
I don't know.
You also have to remember that we were not the only ones in Afghanistan. The British were there. The French were there. The Canadians were there.
For how long? Not for too long, I'll tell you that.
We left them in Afghanistan when they pulled out. Biden didn't even tell them that we were pulling out.
They weren't.
Listen, man, I talked to soldiers the whole time they were there. I had relatives that served over there. How are you going to tell me, man? I had them on my podcast show, for God's sake. How are you going to tell me that they're wrong? That they're wrong. I had Navy Seals on my podcast, and you're going to tell me they're wrong.
Come on. Militarily, the United States defeated the Afghans in Afghanistan militarily. But that's not the whole story anymore than it was in Vietnam. We consistently defeated the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese in Vietnam. Well, I'm talking about militarily. We're talking about what it takes to prevail in the end.
We know
what the United States Armed Forces did in Afghanistan. Yeah, every engagement they prevailed in. So what?
So what are you trying to say,
when you
didn't
have,
what's the argument? I don't know what you're arguing
about. You don't have the strategic vision.
I don't know what you're talking about anymore. We went in there and we destroyed, wiped them out, turned them into a fucking parking lot. What are you talking about?
Okay,
I mean, what's the deal?
We'll
what are you trying to talk about?
With the Russian? Are you going to tell me not even a peasant army? We're talking about an army of goat herders. Yeah, they were tough. Yeah, they were tenacious. They posed no military match for even the Soviet Union of the 80s. And you
they
think we're going to do
Soviet
that with
ass.
The Russians?
What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. Do you think we'd be able to do that with the Russians?
But all I'm doing is making a comparison, Sarge. If the Russians got their asses kicked in Afghanistan, right? And
they didn't
we
get their asses kicked.
Okay?
They didn't get they didn't get their asses kicked. Not the way you think. They couldn't.
God.
You know how many Soviet soldiers were casualties in Afghanistan?
Okay, let's
you
look at
many?
Ukraine today. You're going to say
do you know how many casualties the Soviet Union sustained in Afghanistan? Wait a minute. Answer the question, Joe. You know how many casualties they sustained in Afghanistan?
I don't know the exact numbers, no.
The total wounded and killed is about 115,000. Okay, wounded and killed. And Mujahideen had about over 250,000 dead.
Okay, and how many troops did we lose in Afghanistan?
How many
did we lose in 20 years, Sarge? How many did we lose?
We didn't – look, the United States in Afghanistan did not have the same level of resistance from the Afghanis that the Soviets had when they were in Afghanistan.
But if you look at the numbers, Sarge, you said 150,000, right? How many soldiers did you lose? 5,000?
I'm just saying – it was two different wars in a lot of respects. What the United States did in Afghanistan was not the same war the Soviets fought.
But let's look at the numbers, though. They're way off. If you do the comparison and level the odds out and look at everything in comparison, the Soviets got their asses kicked compared to us. So you're telling us against the Soviets.
That's not true.
It's going to be different.
The Soviet Union
cannot... You're going to say it's going to be different if we take on the Soviets.
No.
The Soviet Union cannot economically sustain their actions.
Hang on. I'm asking a damn question. Can I finish the question?
Where the oil prices imploded.
I can't finish.
80. But you don't understand what happened. It was geopolitical.
It doesn't matter.
That took down the Soviet Union. It wasn't just
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
So
but it wasn't the fact that they were beaten militarily.
Joe,
it wasn't the fact that they were beaten. But, Joe, it wasn't the fact that they were beaten militarily.
Anyway.
They couldn't sustain the effort economically.
That's what I said.
The economy was shot, Joe.
That's what I said.
Okay,
exactly. That's exactly correct.
Okay, Sarge. Okay. Will
Reagan made them spend money they didn't have to spend.
The Russians will destroy us.
Yep. They will come
that
over here and
not
destroy
the
us.
Whole
yep.
Story. It wasn't just Ronald Reagan. Come on. It's also because the oil prices plummeted.
Do I hear an ant talking? Is there an ant pipsqueaking? Is there an ant? What's that? What's that noise?
Many factors involved, but I'd say the impetus that got the whole ball rolling was Star Wars and the attempts by the Soviets to keep up the Strategic Defense Initiative. There was a whole host of factors why their economy, which is centralized and authoritarian, could not keep up with the relative free market enterprise of the United States. They just couldn't do it, Joe.
Okay, Sarge. Okay.
Besides, body count does not win wars.
Nope. We proved that.
Yeah, now I'm proved that. We killed them in a bushel basket full. In the end, it didn't make much of a difference. Because I'll tell you, the one guy who had it right was Richard Nixon. If Richard Nixon had been commander-in-chief instead of Lyndon Johnson from the beginning, what would happen that the North Vietnamese said they were terribly afraid of? Because he did it. He went into Cambodia and started messing with the supply lines. The only thing that made the U.S. pull out of Cambodia was the protests back home, not the resistance by the North Vietnamese. The same thing when they went into Laos. The problem was the South Vietnamese army was not ready to take on the North Vietnamese army in Laos. But I can guarantee you the United States Army would have been, and Nixon would have committed in that job long before, and he would have cut the Ho Chi Minh Trail. That was what defeated them. And you got to remember, they came to the peace table because Nixon launched Operation Linebacker and Operation Linebacker 2 and pounded the North Vietnamese so hard they realized they had to come to the peace table. He wouldn't have been running that war the way Lyndon Johnson was.
But what was the result of all that? Was the result?
Well, South Vietnam was still a country at 2 years after the United States pulled out. South Vietnam was still a viable country. The Democrats cut off their funding completely.
What was that?
I'm saying they completely ramped up all their aid to the North Vietnamese while we cut funding 90% to South Vietnam. Their artillery batteries were rationed to 10 rounds a day when the North Vietnamese conducting a 26-division invasion spearheaded by armored forces. There was no way they were going to win.
But what was the result of the war? Here's the result of the war. The American Empire was able to take over all the drug routes coming out of Southeast Asia, around those countries, around Vietnam. After the war, we took them away from the French. And that is how the CIA funds its black ops. They took over that drug trade. The CIA had all kinds of shenanigans going on in Vietnam and the surrounding countries. So that's the result of it all. All those men, all those children, all those women dying for drugs.
The drug trade in the opium triangle was proceeding merrily and apace long before South Vietnam fell. Yes, there would still be a drug trade going on in South Vietnam if South Vietnam was still a country today. South Vietnam because CIA wanted to maintain a drug trade. Fell because the United States cut off all economic military funding to the South Vietnamese, and the Soviets and the Chinese wildly increased it. That's why it collapsed.
In part from being number two and having to try harder, okay, and it's from the report here, very hard to read, part from the ideology need to demonstrate the superiority of the communist system, but the Soviets' own statistics show that they have made no progress in overtaking the United States economy since the mid-1970s, okay? Which, more detailed comparison, okay, shows based on Western measures presented in this report give a picture generally similarly with the USSR falling somewhat further behind, that relative to U.S. performance since the mid-1970s, our GDP size and growth per capita consumption, quality of consumer goods and services, agriculture development, application of new production technologies and labor productivity, the Soviet economy on average grew faster than the U.S. economy. Okay, from the mid-1960s to the mid-1970s, okay?
But that doesn't mean it was better. It just means it grew faster.
Yeah, the rate. My point was that their economy grew faster than the United States in the 60s and 70s. You sat there and argued for an hour saying
no. That may be true, Joe, but that doesn't mean they had a greater GDP overall. May be true. That doesn't mean that growth outpaced the United States, so their numbers were higher.
Oh,
when they went from being like a Five and Dime store to being a Neiman Marcus, that doesn't mean that. I mean, we were already doing great after World War II. We took off like rockets. The Soviet Union didn't. It took them a while to catch up. So you have to start at a baseline. Yeah, you have to start at a baseline somewhere, Joe.
It was 49% faster.
Joe, you're not saying anything that we're disagreeing with, that their rate of growth was higher. I mean, it had to come up from somewhere because it was so dismal. So I'm not surprised that was greater.
Or its defense activities for many years have exceeded U.S. levels, often substantially.
Nobody spent more on defense since the United States since the end of World War II.
The CIA report says. I don't know what to tell you.
Again, you're confusing rate. You're confusing rate with the overall number. You got to stop doing that.
I mean, what am I going to do?
The rate of defense spending increasing is not the same thing as saying it is greater overall in the end run.
You're right, Doris. I believe you over everybody else. I'm sorry. You're right.
Well, you don't have to believe me at all. I'm just telling you what the numbers show. Look at how much money it is. Look at today. How many, you know what, how big the Russian defense budget is today as we speak? Russian defense budget today is under $100 billion a year. We spend almost $1 trillion on our defense.
Hey, Charles, I don't know what it is today. I don't know. I have no idea. No clue.
Talking
about the 60s and 70s.
I mean, look, we published the defense budget. It's over $800 billion a year. The Russian defense budget is just over $100 billion a year. We always have spent more money on defense than the Soviet Union and Russia since World War II.
Not the 60s and
70s. Yes, that too. I'm sorry, Joe. You better go back and look at those numbers again. Nobody's outspending the United States when it comes to defense spending. Nobody in the world.
It gives you every single number, population, everything. It's got everything in this report. Everything.
Yeah, I don't know what you're reading, Joe, but the numbers just don't back that up.
I'm in the chat room. For God's sake.
Joe, okay. Joe, how
Joe,
much? Okay.
Let me try.
Joe.
Let me try.
So, Joe.
Wait a second. Joe,
good luck.
You're reading the information.
This is an FOIA, Freedom of Information, Electronic Reading Room, Requester Portal, Historical Collections. This is from, let's see here, the CIA.gov reading room document. So they,
okay,
this is
so
their research, okay? And you're telling me that you're going to argue with them and you're right?
No.
Then you haven't given me any facts to back it up?
I'm telling you that your interpretation of what the information they're giving you, you're just not understanding what you're reading.
What's there to understand? The numbers, it says what it means. It means what it says. What are you talking about?
Okay. But let
I'm not giving any interpretation. What are you talking about?
Listen, I had to learn this stuff, too.
What are you talking about? I'm not reading this and then giving my opinion.
I read to you
exactly what it said.
Okay, Joe.
Unreal.
Let me just explain to you in the best way I know how. Let me give you an analogy, okay? Let's say you are 20 years old and you've gone to work and you buy a home, okay? But you can't buy very much. You're 20 years old, right? You can't buy very much. So you buy a trailer, okay? So it's 1960 and you buy a trailer. But your neighbor down the street lives in a mansion, okay? That's 1960. So by 1970, you have moved into a split-level brick home. But the person who has the mansion now owns two mansions. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the comparison between the United States and the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union started much lower. So they were going to grow faster during that period because of their major natural resource was oil. They were able to sell oil. We've always been able to sell oil. So they did grow faster than us, but they did not grow past us. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No, they talk about that. In the report, they talk about that too. They go by, I mean, they give every analysis which you're talking. No. It's not, I understand what you're saying, but that's not true.
Listen, Khrushchev came to the United States when John F. Kennedy was president, and he went on a tour. And John F. Kennedy bet him that he could take him into any home in America. And they would have certain things. One of the main things that he told Khrushchev every home in America would have was indoor plumbing. And Khrushchev didn't believe him. And John F. Kennedy proved it to him.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
The thing that they lack is real is competition. And when this report says in direct competition,
well, I tell you one thing.
Consumer goods. That's it.
If the Soviet Union's defense budget is a tenth of that of the United States, it sure do put out some hellified jet fighters for that little money. God damn.
Yeah. Well, harder working and more quality for their buck. Yeah.
They are spending less than 10% of our military budget. Every year they spend about 10% of what we spend on defense. It's just a fact,
Nothing, Sarge. if I have a company, if I own a landscape business, right, and I spend, say, just hypothetically, say I spend $50,000 this year, and then New Garden Landscape in Greensboro, which is 30 times bigger than me, spends $10 million, but yet I do better work and do have more customers than them, what's that mean? What's that mean?
Well, now you're analyzing.
Better than me just because you spent more?
Joe, now you're analyzing the numbers. You're not denying that the number
God.
You spend is greater.
I mean,
analyzing what the impact of that spending is. There's a difference between that and just saying what the gross figures are. The gross figures are indisputable. Now, you can say we waste a lot of money. I'll go along with you if you say that. Is the United States wasting a hell of a lot of money in the defense budget? Yeah. It's part of it because they got to keep all these military bases in far-flung outpaced all around the world going. Yeah. That's a lot to do with it. Is corruption a lot to do with it? Yeah. I agree with you. But there's no doubt whatsoever that the number is infinitely greater, whatever the reason for it.
No. My production was greater, I'm saying, and then you outspent me and outsourced me. But I put
right,
more work out.
I'll give you this much.
Oh, my God. You don't let nobody finish.
Go ahead.
Can't finish a point. I'm done. I forgot it now.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I'm done. I forgot it. I don't know what I was going to say.
All right. Well, listen, man, I'm just saying, if you want to say the Russians spend their money more efficiently, that may be true. I mean, I've heard a lot of wastage and corruption in defense budget spending, too, so it may not be true. But, hell, the Russian defense budget is smaller than Saudi Arabia's. Did you know that?
Okay.
Saudi Arabia spends more money on defense than Russia does.
Okay, what's that mean?
I'm just trying to put things in relative terms.
It doesn't matter. That's what it means. How about that? It don't matter.
It doesn't matter to what?
On anything. On anything that we want to put it up against. Because the bottom line is this. Big deal.
All right. Well, let's go back to what originally sparked this discussion in the first place. Whether or not Russia is going to be a tough nut to crack if we got to go fight him on the ground in Europe. That's the bottom line, right? And of course,
and we're not going to fight him on the ground,
sir. Determining that is how much money they're spending on their defense budget. And how
it's
they will be able to bring those resources to bear in any conflict with NATO and or the United States? That's the question.
It's not going to happen. It won't happen. We would never put ground troops
on the ground. You know the one thing I am absolutely certain about war? I mean, I am as certain about this. Out of all the stuff I've ever heard about war, here's what I'm absolutely, utterly, completely certain of. Uncertainty when it comes to whether or not a war is going to start. That is the one constant you can bloody well guarantee will always be there.
Why would we go to war with Russia?
You cannot predict anything as dynamic as what causes war and say it will or definitely will not ever happen.
Okay, why would we go to war with Russia on the ground, with ground troops? Why would we do that?
What we're doing right now? Look at what we're doing right now in Ukraine. American troops are engaging Russian forces as we speak.
Russian troops are on the ground in Ukraine?
Listen to me. They may not be in the front-line regiments that are at the tip of the spear, but they are definitely close enough to be within multiple launch rocket system range. They're manning
that,
the defenses and showing
maybe CIA,
the Ukrainians
maybe
how to use them.
Maybe CIA, yeah, but there ain't no American,
no.
There ain't the Marines.
There are American troops there.
No, there's not. What do you know, Kat, about the military? Don't tell me nothing, please.
We have special forces in every country in the world.
They're there, Joe. Trust me. They are there. I can guarantee you. I'd stake my life on it.
Okay, if they engage the Russians, Sarge, okay, and just say they get captured and taken prisoner, what the hell do you think would happen? There's no way. Maybe CIA, maybe something like that, but our troops are not engaging Russian troops right now.
Wait a second.
It was on the ground when Syria and Turkey was going at it.
You would never.
Yes, they were there.
You will never know if the Russians would capture any Americans in Ukraine. You will never hear about it.
Two or three. Well, how many troops do you think are over there engaging Russians right now? How many?
Do you realize that the Russians had three regiments of fighter aircraft in Korea slugging it out with American jets over the Yalu River? And it wasn't known until – they didn't know that until 2003. I mean, Russian pilots were actively engaging U.S. Air Force pilots over the Yalu in North Korea.
I'm not talking about Korea.
And they don't have to keep it secret until after the fall of the Soviet Union.
Where are they deployed at? How many do you think, in your opinion? Well, you said you stake your life on it. So how many do you think?
Here's what I think most of them are. Joe, there are probably some special forces operators there. They're very careful not to get captured. But most of the troops I'm talking about are technical advisors and people showing the Ukrainians how to operate the United States equipment.
That's not what you said.
That is what I said. That is what I said. And I told you, I said they are within the range of multiple launch rocket systems. Do you know what the range of those is? That range is approximately 21 to 25 miles. So they're 21 to 25 miles behind the front line.
You said they were engaging Russian troops.
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. And if I said it, if I said that, Joe, I was wrong. They are not engaging. The only Americans that are engaging Russian troops in frontline combat, and there are some, they are volunteers in the Ukrainian Legion. They're not affiliated with the United States government.
All right, good. Thank you.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This crap with Ukraine is a bunch of bull crap, too. What good is it going to do?
Yep.
They don't do no good. That's more money that's going to waste.
Well, I can agree with you there.
Well,
but Joe, we didn't know the American troops are there, Joe, to show them how to use the American equipment. That's why they're there, Joe.
Let me put it to you this way. This is, I'll tell you what difference it makes in Ukraine. The difference it makes in Ukraine is that we have to protect and keep from falling into Russian hands, biological weapons laboratory that the United States has set up in Ukraine.
Are those the same ones in Iraq?
No.
I
can guarantee you, though, unless the Russians were able to capture them, they moved everything already out of reach of the Russians for the time being. They were there, no doubt about it. But by now, the Ukrainians and or the U.S. has spirited all that stuff somewhere else.
We are engaging in Ukraine to protect Dr. Fauci.
Really?
Exactly.
Fauci's there.
Why is the United States wanting to put biological weapons in the Ukraine? That don't make sense. You know, Lincoln used biological warfare also.
We got nuclear
He prevented the Confederate troops from having access to quinine to fight malaria.
Well, I can answer that question that you asked, Bianchi. Why do we have bioweapon labs in Ukraine? Because we were developing, where we couldn't do it here in the United States, we are developing bioweapons that affect people according to their ethnicity, their DNA, all sorts of characteristics. Because in Ukraine, you have some of the purest strains of DNA on the planet.
Well, that's probably true, too. That's why these countries saying death to America. Some of the goddamn things that they get involved in, they have no damn business getting involved.
That's
in.
What I've been talking about.
Why would they build them, though?
Why
would they build them in Mexico? Or Canada?
Did you just not hear me?
So there's no strains of DNA down there?
No, I'm talking about ethnically pure.
There's no pure DNA in Canada or any place else, just Ukraine. Right where there's the middle of a war.
I didn't
well,
say,
likelihood of you having some adulterated
DNA.
Yeah, she's right. So, the likelihood of you having some adulterated DNA ain't going to be found in Russia. That's damn near a pure white nation.
Well, you got to remember, too, that what she's talking about is the DNA that has got pretty much a unbroken, it's not completely unbroken, because it's still an admixture of population, especially with the Mongols coming from the east in the Ukraine.
Okay.
But when you talk about a country that has a relative amount of unbroken genetic line of material, Ukraine is where you find much of it.
Okay.
It's easier to create a targeted virus against a type of DNA that's like that than one that's intermixed with a lot of different types. If you're looking for a virus that will attack a specific ethnic group, you want to work on one that is closest to one type of DNA.
Okay. All right, now we got these labs set up over in Ukraine, right? Now, who are they targeting? Like, how are they doing this? Like, they got some like guys going out in black uniforms and snatching people up in the middle of the night and bringing them into the lab.
No.
How does this work?
No. It's easy to collect DNA. You ain't got to kill nobody to collect DNA. You take swabs from the tree
to do it.
Take blood sample. I mean, what do you think? Got to kill people to get DNA?
Well, why do they got to set up a lab to do it then? Why don't they just fly over there and get it and come back over here?
Because it builds the type.
We can't do it here. It's illegal.
Okay, can I answer that? Because biolabs are regulated. They're called, what those are called are level 4 biolabs. We don't have them in our country. It's illegal here. So we farm it to countries where we can do it, like China and Ukraine.
No, but we just have UFOs and everything, right?
No, Joe. Yeah. It is illegal to have a level 4 bio lab in the United States. If they get caught with it in the United States, there's severe penalties. They can do it in Ukraine because it ain't illegal there.
Oh, God.
Okay, you guys, I got to break in for a few seconds. We are at the end of the third hour. We're going to be going into no man's land in a couple of minutes. So
I thought we were already there.
Warn you guys.
Well, you know, here's the thing. They shouldn't be producing no shit like that any goddamn way. Anybody can get a hold of it. It can get loose. We've seen movies on that before. Why are you doing that? My question, why would you want to do that? It kind of reminds me of you got some idiot that would douse dogs with gasoline and set them on fire. Why?
Yeah.
I can answer that. Because what we learned in World War II was that the Germans and the Japanese were especially involved in it. And we took the technology, especially from Germany, and we brought it to the United States, and we started doing all kinds of crazy shit. And the stuff that we could not do here, the extreme stuff where people actually died with all those experiments, we like in Europe, abandoned mental hospitals. We took like prisoners and criminals and insane people, and we experimented on them. But not only did we do it, but the Soviet Union had the same sort of labs going on in Ukraine. When everything went to shit, we found out about that too. So other countries are doing the same thing that we're doing. We just got more sophisticated about it.
Well, Americans used it on Americans. Hell, the Army set up them damn release of bacteria. I know they did it in North St. Louis. They did it at Pruitt Igoe, and they did it at another location next to Highway 70 and Kings Highway. And then they set up monitors in the damn airport to see the people that was coming through there, how many of them had traces of that bacteria on them. They was trying to determine the spread and how far it would spread.
You know what, Bianchi? I think maybe you're telling the truth, because one time about 15 years ago, I was in Bank of America parking lot in Greensboro, and I saw a plane fly real low, and it sprayed something, like real quick, over the parking lot and then left. I mean, it was weird, and I saw that with my own eyes. So I don't know what they were spraying.
What kind of aircraft was it, Joe?
It was like a small single aircraft, like, it was a single pilot aircraft or a couple guys, you know. It wasn't a crop duster.
I was just saying, it might have been a crop duster just releasing
over
some spray. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't, but.
Well, you know,
the military was doing
investigations. We're doing experiments with ticks, and they develop Lyme disease. I mean, when we were growing up, we had Lyme disease. The military developed Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm. Why the hell would you produce something like that anyway? It don't make sense, man.
Ask Dr. Fucky with gain of function research. What do you think they're doing all that gain of function research about? And they had all kind of emails telling not to do it. Or aren't you concerned about what can happen if we continue this research?
And all that shit they be developing at Fort Detrick, Maryland, that's ridiculous, man. It's totally ridiculous.
But that's what Fort Detrick was developed for, was to do this kind of crazy shit.
Well, look, Bianchi, look, as long as somebody might use biological agents against us, it's perfectly legitimate to research ways to combat it. But we know what the problem is. The problem is you could, the same research that can be used to combat these vectors and these viruses is the same technology that can be used to create them, and that's the problem.
Who do you think imported COVID?
Dr. Fauci and the National Institute of Health.
Now, we developed COVID, and we got too dangerous, so we sent it over there. Department of Homeland Security got in on it and told them they got to get that shit out of this country, and they sent it to Wuhan. There wasn't any, transfer from animal to human. See the crazy shit they came out initially to make people like say, crossover from animals to humans. Bullshit. And there were people actually arguing, fighting over that. So, you don't need to take a country over by invading it. Look what just happened to us with the shutdowns. And you couldn't go to church. You couldn't go to school. You know, you could only shop at a certain place. You should have all your food delivered. And we shut down this country. You couldn't go to the beach. You couldn't go to the park. You couldn't go out and enjoy the sunshine.
Wasn't that Operation Petticoat that they was experimenting with LSD back in the 50s?
That was MKUltra. That was
MKUltra.
Yeah, that's right. MKUltra.
But they finally got the patent to LSD. It was a Swiss company that had the initial patent, and we bought it. It got to the point they couldn't even make enough to send over here. So we eventually broke the patent to LSD, and there's this guy named Sidney Gottlieb, and he ran the MKUltra program. And the shit they did, and MKUltra with the LSD was only a fraction of what MKUltra actually did. I read a book on this. It's called, it's called Poisoner in Chief, about Sidney Gottlieb and MKUltra. And the stuff that they did will blow your mind. That's why I love my country, but we've done some really, really wicked stuff against our own people and to other nations because of these crazy, mad, power-hungry, war-mongering. You say, why do they do it? Because they can, and they get the money. They get funding to do it.
And we're going to have another pandemic here before the end of the year. Just don't worry about it. You know, it's coming. It'll be here.
It's already.
And the problem is these. And a lot of the problem is these black budgets that are off limits to normal congressional oversight that nobody can get access to. And all this money they got, and yes, some of it is drug funded, or if not all of it, certainly a great deal of it. They got this money for these black buddies. They can do all kind of things, and the ordinary congressional oversight simply won't work to get at it or even to investigate it.
Well, they can't. Joe Biden was on the Senate Intelligence Committee for how many years? He had access. He knows all this stuff. Joe Biden knows all about this. He knows everything. But it's not just the black budget. It's the organization that was created under the Reagan administration called the National Endowment for Democracy. When you keep hearing this term that Trump is a threat to democracy, it's not democracy in the way that we think of democracy, that we are a self-governing people. What they mean by democracy and Trump being a threat to democracy is Trump is a threat to this American empire way of tearing down other nations to, you know, what is called exploit their resources. That's what they're talking about, because we have to admit, all of us here on the phone have to admit, the growth of the middle class and the sustainability of the middle class is dependent upon us exploiting other nations' resources. We look at what they do in China. We get cheap clothes, right? We can practically throw clothes away and go get new clothes. It wouldn't hurt our budgets at all.
And Eisenhower was in on some of this shit, too. And Frank Gallucci out of Dallas, Texas.
That's why
I tell you right now, their plan to destroy other countries is moving apace. Right now, they're starting to draft the fathers of three or more children. Think about that. In every war I can think of, United States has been in, they never would draft a father with three-plus children. But they're doing that in Ukraine right now because so many young men have been killed or maimed in this fighting over there. It is evil. They need to end this thing as soon as they can.
Well, they just had an assassination attempt on the president of Slovakia. Are y'all aware of that?
No.
Yep.
When did that happen?
Slovakia. Croatia and
supported Trump.
And Croatia and Slovakia are about to go at it themselves.
I'm not even about to
tell
people
what Croatia just got through having a fight with Bosnia, didn't he?
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry. That was Croatia and Bosnia. They're about to go at it again.
Well, you got Bosnians.
Well,
wait a minute. You got a big population of Bosnians here in America, especially in St. Louis.
Yeah, well, they're about to go at it again.
We had one of the biggest fights. You had one of the biggest fights in public schools in St. Louis at Soldan, which is an international school. It had Croatia and Bosnian students. And, hell, they down there had an international conflict in that building.
Well, look, you guys, this prime minister of Slovakia is a guy named Robert Fico. He's a kind of a populist there in Slovakia. And the guy who shot him said that he shot Fico because he disagreed with his policies. Now, this is the same guy, this prime minister there who got shot, rejected the pandemic accord by the World Health Organization. He also told the NATO Secretary General that the war in Ukraine got to come to an end. And the globalists ain't too fond of Fico, or Fico, however you pronounce the guy's name. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I think people ought to start looking into that, too. It might be another Victoria Nuland-type color revolution.
Well, it most definitely is. He was a populist.
Well, we need to, maybe there needs to be a Nuremberg on some of these globalists. You think?
You think? Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
Did you see the footage of our Secretary of State in Kiev in a nightclub playing an electric guitar and singing Rockin' to the Free World by Neil Diamond? By Neil Young?
No. I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I didn't see it.
Hardy and Hardy. And they're saying now that there will not be elections in Ukraine until Russia pulls out. So they pretty much permanently canceled elections.
Okay.
So
we're not surprised.
We're funding a dictator.
Oh, Lord. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Oh, this thing is so corrupt in Ukraine. I really hate to see what they're doing in those people, and the Russians and the Ukrainians. They could have settled us back in February of 2022. could have this thing settled. And it was deliberately torpedoed by George Bach, Boris Johnson, acting as a proxy for the United States.
Well, I tell you what, Russia ain't not gonna let any missiles be put on Ukrainian soil pointed toward them. I don't blame them. I wouldn't. Hell, what happened when
either.
Russia tried to put missiles in Cuba?
Except you got three.
Yeah, what would we say if Russia wanted to put missiles in Mexico?
Oh, please. There would be no way we'd allow it. Nor should we. I mean, what do they think Putin was going to be thinking when he kept seeing all these NATO countries, many of which used to be former members of the USSR, right on his borders, especially Ukraine? They're paranoid anyway, and they have a justifiable national security concern about what abuts their borders. And they really thought he was going to sit by passively and let it happen? That's the most insane thing I can think of.
Well, what would happen if a state secedes and tells China we want you to be an ally of us?
You know what would happen. You know exactly what would happen. So, you know, I mean, we could see what's going on here. The only thing is that we just need somebody to put a stop to it. And we need, if the United States can't be a broker in these settlements between United States and Ukraine, there's got to be an international broker that both sides will accept to bring this thing to a satisfactory conclusion. It definitely can't be the United States. So who would it be out of all the countries in the world? Who would it be? You can't count the United Nations to do it, right? So who's going to do it? I really can't think anybody. I can't think anybody could be a modern-day Teddy Roosevelt to put this thing to bed.
But here's that.
I mean, I think that Russia is just going to impose a solution on Ukraine. They're going to impose it on them by military force, and Ukraine's going to give up those two regions in the Donbass and maybe get back the Crimea. Maybe they have to get back to Crimea. Russia will probably be satisfied with that. But I ain't giving no guarantee. Along with the pledge to never enter NATO.
Well, hell, anyway it comes, America's going to get screwed. They're going to pay for it. Everything that's being torn up in Gaza and that, Americans are going to be looked at to pay for it. Everything that's being tore up in Ukraine, Americans are going to be looked pay for it.
No doubt. No doubt whatsoever.
Three more.
A lot of people are already planning for that. We have planned for it.
I know.
I mean, that fighting over there is brutal. I mean, if you've been following this, I've been watching as much combat footage as I can over there about the way the
fight, and
I'm telling you, the war is causing changes, the warfare that we're only beginning to get a handle on. And it don't even involve nuclear weapons or anything like that.
It's beyond barbaric.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's worse than butchering.
I mean, you watch those drones, those FPV drones, those first-person view drones, and they're over here, and you watch some poor bastard in the trench, and he's looking up, and he knows they're about ready to drop some anti-personnel bombs right on him. He can't do nothing about it. He's just looking up there with like a deer in the headlights. It is sad to watch. I swear to God, it is so sad to watch.
The people that I've met who've come back, all guys, they